too. They nearly had a perfect game tossed against them.
It was definitely two different ends of the spectrum in Game 1 and Game 2, and that's a lot of what you get sometimes in a doubleheader. One team wins, the other team then able to take Game 2. So what do we get today? Hopefully the offense comes back out, and excited to see what the starter today for the Lansing Lugnuts can do for them on the mound.
Before we turn our attention too much to today and too far away from yesterday, there was one special moment, and that is this. Grant Holman, the Lugnuts Game 2 starter, tossed an immaculate inning.
It was kind of out of nowhere, right? I mean, you're talking about a West Michigan team that had really dominated. They had already scored a couple of runs against Holman, but then here comes the fourth inning, and you're exactly right. He throws nine pitches all in the zone, gets three strikeouts, and it's something that we will always be able to talk about in this 2022 Lansing Lugnuts season, something that Grant Holman and his teammates will all remember, just kind of a really special and difficult accomplishment to go out there and do.
Well, today, here's what's in front of them. Beat West Michigan and split the first four games of this series, and they'll have the right guy on the mound to do so. Stevie Emmanuels gets his first start of the year after a very impressive relief appearance in his first appearance of 2022.
Well, I'm really excited for Stevie Emmanuels. Jesse, I know you are as well. We know he went down with the injury last year, so didn't get the full season in Lansing in 2021, only started six games. You mentioned that first opportunity this weekend against Lake County, and he was great. He went three innings and gave up just a couple of hits and one run, but there's nothing like that first start of the year, and he'll have a chance to take down, a difficult offense from West Michigan.
On the other side, the West Michigan Whitecaps will counter with their opening day starter, that being Carlos Guzman, so a battle of right-handers. Well, earlier today, I had the chance to catch up with Lansing Lugnuts manager Phil Pohl. The very first thing that I asked the skipper was, after he won his very first game as a manager, what did he do with the game ball?
I believe it's sitting on top of my desk right to an off day and then a road trip, so it is back in Lansing.
You got a double victory shower. Did you dodge it or did you get hit?
No, I got hit. It was nice and cold, and I definitely felt it after, but that's a good cold to get.
What were the conversations like leading to you becoming the manager from being bullpen catcher?
Conversationally, it was something I think I've kind of always knew I wanted to get into. I had really good 6 years with Oakland, being a part of, extension of that staff. So a lot of great experiences. I was able to learn a lot from the coaches up there and the players alike. So I was looking forward to when I had the opportunity to make this move, and fortunate enough, I've been able to do that this year.
Joined by Lugnuts manager Phil Pohl, let's talk about your players. Let's begin with Eurybiel Angeles. He was picked up in the Sean Manaea trade, and he's just hitting bullets all over the field. What do you think of the young shortstop?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to put it. He has been definitely barreling some baseballs, putting together some really good at-bats on top of playing really good defense. So I've been very impressed so far. We're happy to have him in our organization. He's done everything we've asked him to do, plays the game the right way, plays hard. Like I said, I'm happy he's on our side.
Tyler Soderstrom is probably the name that most fans know. He's a catcher. You're a catcher. What do you think so far? Where is he now, and where is he going?
Yeah, Tyler's done well for us so far. I know looking at statistically, maybe not quite the statistics he wants to get out to start the year, but at the same time, putting together some good quality at bats, still hitting the ball hard, on a line, sometimes, maybe getting fooled a couple times here and there, but has done a really good job, I think. It's going to be a development process all year. Hopefully we can, give him some pointers and some tips to help him both offensively and defensively. But has done a nice job for us so far, has made some good strides already. Like I said, has maybe not quite the numbers he wants out of these first four, six games, but I think you're going to see that average start to climb here soon, very shortly.
You did some advanced scouting with the A's. Looking at Angeles, looking at Soderstrom, how good can both of them be?
Little bit of advanced scouting. I don't know if you could really call it that. More helping out where I could a little bit here and there. But, seeing those two guys, I think, obviously, they're off the charts. Both Angeles up the middle. His movements at short look great. Like I said, young, athletic kid. And the same for Tyler. I mean, a good build behind the plate. A lot of pop off the bat. Doesn't have a whole lot of swing and miss. So, just looking at these guys in the first couple games of the season, there's a lot of really good things that jump out at me.
It's not always you see an immaculate inning. You could go years and years. And then Grant Holman just turned it in the midst of a 9-strikeout game. What makes him tough?
Grant, again, you can put him in the conversation with a guy who's got a lot of upside. He's done a lot of things that I like. Big body, big frame on the mound, pounds the strike zone, has a good fastball, good secondary pitches, commands them all pretty well. So it's, like you said, you don't see the immaculate inning quite often. Grant's a guy that I wouldn't put it past him to do again just because of the way he attacks hitters and attacks the strike zone with a good pitch mix.
Who are other names that A's fans might not know yet, but you're saying keep this name in mind, remember this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I like our whole roster. I think we were talking about this.
We got time. We'll name 30 guys.
Yeah, I could go down my whole roster, but just, guys that jump out early in this year, Brett Harris, the guy who's been playing a lot of third base for us, is off to a hot start. Solid defender, got some pop with his bat. I've liked what I've seen out of him. Honestly, Gabriel Maciel, a guy we picked up this offseason, he's having a really solid start of the year, plays a great defensive outfield at all three positions. Just a smart baseball player, runs the bases well, knows the game. He's a guy I like every time I write his name down in the lineup. Lawrence Butler is a guy that was in Lansing for us last year. He's a guy who's, a freak athlete, is able to run, he's got a good arm, a lot of power potential. So those three guys are probably the first couple names that jump out at me. Especially with Harris and Maciel off to hot starts. But I could go on and on about the roster. I think we've got a good group of guys. Like I said, I'm excited to see how this team and this season progresses.
Joined by Lugnuts manager Phil Pohl, finally. It's cold.
Yes.
It's really cold. How has that affected baseball, and how are you staying warm?
Yeah, as much as we want to say it hasn't affected us at all, statement, it's been very cold. I know yesterday we had two really, really windy games, too, to add to it. You can't use that as an excuse. It's cold in other parts of the country as well. So it's definitely an adjustment, coming from Arizona in spring training. The weather was great down there for the last month we were there, but it's something we're all adjusting to. But at the same time, the guys in the other dugout are also making the same adjustment. So it's been a little tough sledding early on, but hopefully this weather does warm up and we can get into a little bit more of a routine and a groove.
That's Phil Pohl, manager of the Lansing Lugnuts. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler back here at LMCU Ballpark. Phil discussing things earlier today, and that interview will be played on A's Cast tomorrow in the pregame show with the Oakland Athletics in Toronto taking on the Blue Jays. I'm rejoined right now by Adam Jaxa, and Adam, if you don't mind, can you take us through the starting lineups?
Yes, I can, Jesse. Before I do, I just want to say happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
We are celebrating so much today, Jackie Robinson Day. If you celebrate getting your taxes done, fine, but we celebrate you today, so happy birthday.
I felt showered with love, and specifically by you, Adam, showered with donuts.
Hey, man, I can do so much for you. All right, let's get those starting lineups beginning with West Michigan. They are the home squad. We'll save the Lugnuts for last. West Michigan with Parker Meadows leading off. He's had a few home runs throughout this season already as West Michigan has racked up five. He's back in the starting lineup. Will play right field today. Trey Cruz bats second, plays shortstop. Colt Keith hits third and plays second. Jake Holton is at first base, swinging fourth. Austin Murr, the DH, bats fifth. Andrew Navigato is at the hot corner, swinging sixth. Mike Rothenberg behind the plate and bats seventh. Brian Packard is in left field, hitting eighth. And Ben Malgeri rounds out the lineup in center field. Meadows, Cruz, Keith, Holton, Murr, Navigato, Rothenberg, Packard, Malgeri in support of Carlos Guzman, the 23-year-old right-hander, an opening day starter for West Michigan here in 2022. All right, let's take a look at the Lansing Lugnuts. For the first time this year, we will say A. Uribiel Angeles leading off as the DH. Lawrence Butler bats second. The lefty is in from Phil Pohl. He's been swinging well to start the year, hits third and plays third. Tyler Soderstrom is back behind the plate, batting cleanup. Lazaro Armenteros, the first Lugnuts home run of the season, came yesterday from him. He's in center field. Jack Winkler at short and bats sixth. Saheed Valenzuela is at second, hitting seventh. Matt Cross is at first base and hitting eighth. Brian Puelvas is in left field, and he rounds out the order. Angeles, Butler, Harris, Soderstrom, Armenteros, Winkler, Valenzuela, Cross, Puelvas, and they support the righty out of Washington, Stevie Emanuels. It's the 4-2 West Michigan Whitecaps and the 2-4 Lansing Lugnuts.
The Lugnuts looking not only for this win here, not only to split the first four games of this series, but to send us into the weekend. And then we should see Jeff Criswell getting the baseball tomorrow, 2:00 p.m. And Osvaldo Barrios getting the ball on Sunday. Meanwhile, the West Michigan Whitecaps have changed up their starting rotation. They backed up Carlos Guzman. He was originally scheduled to make the start yesterday. And so Guzman gets the start today. Then tomorrow, it was scheduled to be Dylan Smith, but it's going to be Jack O'Loughlin instead. And then Dylan Smith will piggyback him. And then Ty Madden, who was originally scheduled to face off against Jeff Criswell, that on tomorrow's game, Ty Madden will now be the Sunday starter for the Whitecaps. West Michigan has not only shuffled things here and there. Cater Montero has been placed on the injured list for West Michigan. And the Whitecaps have added a new player named Hendry Nunez, 6'4", 180-pounder, out of Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. He is 22 years of age. Meanwhile, Adam, on the other side, we could see the newest Lansing Lugnut out of the bullpen. James Gonzalez just added to the roster yesterday, a big lefty.
Yeah, and a good opportunity. There's always a need for left-handers, and he becomes the fourth lefty for the Lugnuts that is currently active on the roster. And we know that the roster favors the starting pitching and the hitting, and the bullpen, we're still waiting to see what that department looks like and who can step up. Gonzalez is going to have an opportunity to do so.
While we are at LMCU Ballpark on the western side of the Midden, currently ongoing at Jackson Field, it's the capital clash between Michigan State and Michigan. Now, Michigan State recently played at Jackson Field, taking on the Lansing Lugnuts and the Crosstown Showdown presented by Delta Dental on April the 6th. Well, 9 days later, against the Michigan Wolverines. Adam, your Wolverines are having a party. It is right now going to the bottom of the fourth inning. Michigan 9, Michigan State nada. It is a walkover.
That's tough for Michigan State, but I tell you what looks great is both those teams playing at Jackson Field today and that getting showcased on national television, one of the better minor league ballparks across the country. So very cool. Those two are on center stage today.
That's right. It's on ESPNU. Well, we'll step aside as the managers have exchanged lineup cards, and in just a second, West Michigan will take the field and we'll have our national anthem. That's when we return to LMCU Ballpark. Lugnuts and Whitecaps tonight. Lansing Lugnuts baseball forthcoming on these airwaves.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
The West Michigan Whitecaps are taking the field in their clean home white uniforms with the old English D on the left sleeve. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jackson, and we are getting nearer and nearer to Lansing Lugnuts baseball. Lugnuts at 2-4, Whitecaps at 4-2. The Lansing Lugnuts are on the other side, and they're clad in their usual road black uniforms. Although, once again, the Lugnuts are wearing their alternate baseball caps, black brim, black crown, silver Luggy the Lugnut on the front, what we used to see the Lugnuts wear with their home white uniforms, back when those white uniforms were sleeveless and they had the black long sleeves underneath. What the Lugnuts had switched to was the gray crowns for the cap with the close-up Luggy the Lugnut. But this is a Lugnut squad which has options for baseball caps, and they're going silver Luggy on the black to pair with the black and silver jersey top and the road gray pants. The West Michigan Whitecaps are starting to come out of the first Bayside dugout one by one to stand in the line. Meanwhile, the Lansing Lugnuts, it's not one by one, it's everybody. And mass, with Craig Conklin hustling to stand in between all of the coaches, led by the manager, Phil Pohl. Caps are doffed. We go down to the field for our national anthem. The flag here at LMCU Ballpark had been blown off the pole yesterday, and so in lieu of the actual American flag, they simply put up a graphic of a flag on the video board. But just like that close-up image of Luggy the Lugnut and the Lugnuts baseball caps, it was a close-up flag. So we got to see 14 stars as it rippled across the screen. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of the Lansing Lugnuts. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the Lansing Lugnuts. It is Good Friday. It is Passover, depending on if you celebrate either one. It is Jackie Robinson Day in baseball, and we will be observing. I'll speak more with Adam Jacks about that as this goes on this evening between Lansing and West Michigan. But first, let's go through your West Michigan Whitecaps defenders, and then Adam will let us know a little bit more about the Whitecaps starting pitcher, Carlos Guzgan. Brian Packard is in left, in center field, Ben Malgeri, and in right field, Parker Meadows, who's been the hitting hero for the Caps this series. Around the infield, Andrew Navigado plays third base. Trey Cruz is at short. At second base, Colt Keith. And at first base, Jake Holden. The catcher's Mike Rothenberg. And now, Adam, to that right-hander on the hill.
Yes, Carlos Guzman in his second stint with West Michigan, but the first as a high A affiliate. He was with them in 2019 when they were a low A team, and that year he converted from an infielder to a pitcher and went down on the IL to close out the year. We mentioned he was the opening day starter, and he did very well up in Great Lakes. Four innings, gave up one hit, just one run, eight strikeouts, no walks in a 5-1 win. The right-hander is 6'1", 185 pounds. 23 years old. Fastball, change, slider, and a curve.
He'll take on Eribiel Angeles, Lawrence Butler, and then Brett Harris. Our home plate umpire, Clyburn Rondon, in charge of determining balls and strikes. And the bases umpires, the Charlotte Oriole, Mitch Treziak. It is not currently as cold as it was yesterday. Just wait, we'll see what happens when the sun goes down. Currently, Adam, 43 degrees, and the wind chill is 35.
And that wind. Ugh. Yeah. 19 miles an hour again.
Just bites right through clothing. All these guys are layered up as much as they can. I still think that Phil Pohl needs to put on gloves. He's out there barehanded.
It's all about toughness, Jesse.
Is it? Eribiel Angeles is the batter. Right-hander to right-hander, Guzman at 6:41 p.m., deals in a fastball for a called strike one. Is it about toughness, Adam?
Not for me, but for Phil Pohl, yes.
The next offering. That's way outside. Another fastball. And one ball and one strike. A batter who, Adam, he did some good things yesterday. The pitch. He swings and loops it. Shallow center field. Out goes the second baseman, Keith. Off his Calais is on again. Keith, a rapid recovery to get it in. But the Lansing Lugnuts have their leadoff man aboard.
Well, that's a tough one for the scorer right off the jump here. And
I would guess single. What do you think?
I think single as well. Angeles is running good, putting it perfectly between the infielders and outfielders, and finds another hole just barely.
Base hit has gone up there. Here now, Lawrence Butler. The pitch, swatted foul off to the left side. Strike one. Oh, I stand corrected. E4 rules the official scorer. All the while I'm looking at the hand-operated scoreboard, they put a one up there under the hits column, and then they changed it. And now the pitch. That's down low. One ball and one strike. Back pick first base. Angeles is tagged out by Holton. The catcher, Rothenberg, picks off a Rebiel Angeles from first. Now all the Whitecaps are checking on Jake Holton because he got shaken up after the play. But Mike Rothenberg snapping that throw down. One out, nobody on. So no base hit for Angeles, and now not even on the bases.
Well, if there's one thing the Lugnuts know they've got to improve on, that base running has cost them in this series a few different times.
And I feel like this season, Butler swings, he lines it to center field. Malgeri comes in, makes the catch. Two outs.
You want to know why baseball doesn't make sense.
Yes,
right,
please.
There. Yeah. Lawrence Butler squares one out to center. It's caught. Angeles hits a dinker out to center, and it drops in.
Let's go back to that Angeles. To my mind, the reason why I was expecting base hit was it appeared to me to be a difficult play for Keith. Not that it matters. He's not on the bases. High degree of difficulty. Brett Harris, the batter. That's down low, ball one. Adam, did you have any expectation before the official?
I thought it was going to be error.
Because it went right off his glove.
Yeah, I think that's what hurt him, because he got a glove on it.
Brett Harris takes a called strike on the off speed from Guzman.
And I get it, because these guys are professionals, and you would ask 90% of them on one of those plays if they should have made it. They're going to tell you yes, because they expect to make those plays.
Well, the second you get your glove on it, especially. Fastball down the middle, out of called strike two on Brett Harris. Well, Brett so far this year in four games has six base hits, including a double. He has knocked in three. He has a couple of multi-hit games in this series alone. Right-hander thrown to right-hander. Two outs, nobody on, no score. Time called right before Guzman could throw. Clyburn Rondon.
He
says,
we
have a violation. On the pitcher, Guzman, he took too long. 2-2 pitch now, up and in. He took too long, and so that meant ball two. And now because that pitch missed high and tight, three balls and two strikes on Harris. We're going to have to talk about this, Adam. How about first the payoff? Hit in the air, golfed to left for Bryant Packard. Stepping to his left, he's got a one-hand catch. And in the end, it does not help the Lugnuts. Our very first pitch clock violation of the year. The grace period has ended. The pitch clock violations will begin. And the Lansing Lugnuts, Stevie Emanuels, will have to be on his toes. As we go to the bottom of the first inning, Lugnuts nothing, West Michigan coming up against Stevie when we return.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin. UVB rays burn. And both cause cancer. Don't even use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here at the Nuts and Bolts Store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, hardware, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
Our very first pitch clock violation of the year, but it didn't lead to any Lansing Lugnuts offense. Carlos Guzman faced the minimum in the top of the first inning, scorelessly. And now to the bottom half of the first, Buelvas is in left for Lansing. In center field, Lazaro Armenteros, and in right field, it for the Lugnuts is Lawrence Butler. Cross at first, Valenzuela at second, Winkler at short, Harris at third, catcher Soderstrom, pitcher Stevie Emanuel is dealing. Parker Meadows fouls back the first pitch to the screen. And now to Adam Jaxa for more on Stevie.
Yes, sir, Jesse. Fifth-round selection in 2020 out of the University of Washington. Stevie Emanuels, the righty, 6'5", 225, and 23 years old.
Emanuels nods yes to a sign from Tyler Soderstrom. Works out of the stretch, kicks, fires. Meadows fouls it up and away to the left side. Count is nothing and two. Fastball at 91.
Jesse, we were deliberating whether or not they were going to add the violation to the pitch count of
and?
Guzman. They have not.
Oh, interesting. He did throw a pitch. Two-strike pitch on its way. Up high from Emanuels. A show fastball. One ball, two strikes on four for the season. He is one away from leading the minor leagues in round trippers. This is a 1-2 pitch. 3-2-1, the pitch. Swing and a miss. Got him with the curveball. Stevie Emanuel strikes out his seventh batter of the year in just 3 1/3 innings. And the pitch clock is winding. It's at 23 seconds as Trey Cruz steps up there. I suppose now you could call it a game clock. Now that pitch clock is past 13 as Emanuel looks in for a sign. Trey Cruz, switch hitter batting left. Clock at 7, the pitch comes in. That's ripped fair. Base hit up the right field line and heading into the corner into foul ground. Butler over to chase it. Cruz with speed. Darts around to second base and hangs tight. And I love the lunge. A deep lunge from the manager coaching at third, Brian Pena. The man was stretching it out with both hands high, upstretched, throwing up a double stop sign for Cruz. On with a one-out double.
Three hits in this series for Cruz, and two have been doubles. He's yanked a couple down the line. Again, this Whitecaps offense, specifically at the top of the order, they've been potent.
Here comes Colt Keith, left-handed batter. Runner at second, one down, no score, bottom of the first. The pitch is on its way, and it's right down the middle. A called strike one. Colt Keith brings his bat several times through the zone. Emanuels with the sign. Sets. Looks back at the runner. Fires. Ground ball pulled foul up the right side. So this pitch clock, brand new this year in the High A Midwest League, as well as throughout the minor leagues, with the exception of a couple of leagues that had it last year. One of them being the Low A West, and a lot of these Lugnuts were playing in the low, but not Emanuels. He was a Lugnut. He throws. High bouncing ball hit up the middle of the diamond. Grabbed by shortstop Winkler. Throws to first to get him. And away to third base, Cruz. Two outs in the first inning.
I wonder how it affects, like, the Low A League without having the pitch clock, because the guys got used to it all last year. But then again, there are a lot of new faces every year in these leagues. And then for the workers and everything that got used to the speed, how that changes things up.
Here's Jake Holton. I think that's a good question. He swings and misses, badly fooled by the off-speed low and away. Strike one. Holton has opened up this year 4-for-18, but Adam, his bat can be thunderous. Of his four hits, a double and a triple, and he's knocked in five. Scoreless, runner at third, two outs. The pitch, there's the curve. A called strike two on the outside corner. The first baseman in that cleanup spot. And he has his navy hoodie on underneath his home white uniform. Emmanuels deals the 0-2. Down low. 18 seconds reset on that pitch clock, and now here it goes winding down. Emmanuels tossed that last pitch in with 3 seconds to spare. As long as the pitcher starts the delivery, all is well. 2-1, the pitch. That's inside. Two balls and two strikes.
When do the fans, when we get big crowds, start using it as to their advantage, like the missed shot clock countdown in basketball by the student sections?
You say when, I say Thursday. Here's the pitch. That's way outside. What a great backhand short hop pickup by Soderstrom. Keeps the ball at home plate and keeps Trey Cruz at third. Three balls and two strikes and Holton. The man on deck is Austin Murr. Don't want to face Murr. Talented hitter and from the left side. First and second base are open. Here's the payoff. Holton takes ball four. Down low. A fastball from Emmanuels.
Well, if you're Stevie Emmanuels, you just want to get out of this half inning and not give the Whitecaps another lead. They've been doing that a lot in this series, scoring first. And that's because, again, their top of their lineup doesn't mess around. They come up there and they've scored a lot of runs, 45 already, which is top two in the league through the first week of the season. And Parker Meadows, that's the toughest out. And Emmanuel's got that, but then it's Cruz. Now Holton, and now you got to face Murr.
Austin Murr has knocked in 6 runs this year. He's hitting .474, 9-for-19. The pitch just off the outside corner. A fastball for ball one. Of Murr's 9 hits, 3 of them are doubles. Plus, Adam, 7 walks compared to 2 strikeouts. A .615 on base percentage. 1-0. That's high. 2 balls and 0 strikes. Off speed from Emmanuels.
So you're saying 6 straight balls from Mr. Emmanuels. Not good, eh?
Not good, but I don't feel like he's missing by much. This is not erratic. Runners at the corners. No score. 2 gone. Here's the 2-0. That's outside, and that's outside by a lot. 3 balls and 0 strikes on Murr. If he walks him, bases would be loaded for Andrew Navagato. I don't want to tell you about Navagato's numbers to begin this year. Pickoff to the first base. Tag. Not in time. Cross, the catcher playing first base today, slapped that down, but Holton barely got back in. Cruz at third, Holton at first. 2 out, 3-0. Up high, ball 4. A fastball. And the bases are loaded.
I wonder if we get a visit here, because that is 8 straight out of the zone.
You're right, here comes.
Just one of those settle down moments. He's looked really good, and he's been putting it in the zone, but something's off right now.
And it's off with all of his stuff, because he tried the full complement of pitches there. I'll give you Andrew Navagato's numbers right now. The Whitecaps as a team are hitting .267, and it's been Navagato and Murr who have been carrying them. Everybody else on West Michigan, much lower. But Andrew Navagato is hitting .533. That's 8 for his first 15 in 4 games. Plus, he's walked. He has 2 doubles and a triple. He's reaching base 59% of the time. He has been red hot. Base is loaded, 2 outs, scoreless in the first. The first pitch, a curveball outside for ball one.
Ooh, that doesn't help. A little bit tighter strike zone, and Stevie's going to have to come right in on Navagato.
How many straight balls is that now?
Nine.
The 1-0. There's 10 straight balls. The breaking ball low and away. All of this to try to avoid having these West Michigan batters sit on his fastball. And Adam, I think this is going to be have to be the heater.
It's got to be a challenge pitch.
Emmanuel's deals. Ground ball down toward third, but foul. Just to the left of the bag. That's a high fastball, and Navagato chopped it. And if that could have stayed fair, that would have been easy for Brett Harris to just take it to his own base. Everyone in the Lugnuts defense is simply looking for that third out. A strikeout, a double, a ground out, and then back-to-back walks here in the home first. Emmanuels delivers it 2-1. Swing and a miss. A high fastball. Two balls and two strikes as that came in, according to the radar gun here, at 94 miles per hour.
It only takes one. Now he's back even 2-2 and a big pitch coming here.
You want to go back to that fastball, or is it curveball time?
Fastball again.
2-2 is on its way. It's a fastball. Called strike three at the knees on the outside corner. And the inning is over. Emmanuels freezes Navagato. Strikeouts bookend the first inning. A double and two walks are stranded. And we are scoreless as we go to the top of the second from West Michigan.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
I just don't know what to do anymore.
I wish everyone would just go away.
No, it's nothing. Don't worry about me.
Mind your own business. I hate my life.
She'll see when I'm gone.
Suicide could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a plea for help. You can help someone before it's too late.
And then she said she wanted to kill herself.
Do something. Contact OK to Say.
Stevie Emmanuels got himself out of up the first inning against the red-hot Andrew Navagato. And now Tyler Soderstrom leads off the second in a scoreless game for the Lansing Lugnuts. The first pitch, he takes the off-speed breaking high. Big looping curveball. Ball one. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. Carlos Guzman's pitch. This breaking ball is low. So north and south. At two balls and no strikes on the catcher, Soderstrom batting left. Armenteros and Winkler to follow. The deal? That's inside. All right, so now we're hitting all the points of the compass. Let's go east. And let's see if he finishes things off by going west and outside. A 3-0 from Guzman. He went back north again. That's high. And a four-pitch walk to open up the second inning. The first walk given out by Guzman.
Some would say you could go northwest, though, on that one if you wanted to.
That's a good point. Some people go north by northwest.
True.
Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
Oh, come now. Okay, just take my word for it. Sit down, watch North by Northwest, Cary Grant, Hitchcock. It's going to be worth your time.
Hitchcock, man. Classics.
Well, okay, so I'll follow up on that. First, though, here comes Lázaro Armenteros. That's high. I would go straight north again. Ball one. So I grew up associating Hitchcock as a master of horror. Right? Psycho and The Birds and so much more. A ball one offering is on its way. Armenteros swings and misses, a fastball in. One ball and one strike. Nobody out. Soderstrom is at first base. No score, top of the second. Then, while I was growing up, my local one-screen movie theater in my little town, there was a Hitchcock movie festival, and I got to see everything else. This pitch is inside, two balls and one strike, and that's how I got to see the Hitchcock comedies and the Hitchcock action movies. Because, Adam, I don't know about you, I'm not one for horror. You scare me real well, I'll never forget it. I don't need that. That's a fastball away.
So you're not a big Scream guy? That wasn't your Halloween costume of choice?
I actually like Scream because I see it as
really?
A murder mystery.
Okay.
The whole thing about Scream is it's a whodunit. Who's the murderer? The pitch? Fouled back to the screen. Now, if you can get my brain going, all right, who did it? Who's, in this case, the killer? Yeah, I'll sit down for that because I'll try to solve it myself.
You a big Clue guy?
Oh, yeah. But if we know who the murderer is, and it's Jason Voorhees, I might not be down. Might freak me out a little. 2-2. That just missed inside, and the count is full at Armenteros.
What if it's, say, Colonel Mustard?
Then in that case, with the candlestick in the ballroom, I'm in.
Got him.
Soderstrom is at first. Nobody out. This is a 3-2. Does Soderstrom run? No. Armenteros thunders it foul. Well up there and well out of play off to the right. Lazar Armenteros played in one of the games of the doubleheader yesterday. It was game one. He was wonderful. He homered, he doubled, he singled, he drew a walk. That home run is the Lugnuts' only home run this year. Once again, a payoff from Guzman. And again, it's fouled away in the air down the right side. How about you? Where do you stand when it comes to, let's say, murder mystery and horror?
I'm right there with you. I don't want to see him. And if I see him, it's got to be with other people.
Okay, how about Clue?
Oh, it's a great game.
Oh, okay.
It's been years, but it's a great game.
The pitch to Guzman, or the pitch from Guzman, hit high and foul, towering off to the right.
So you wanted a quick yes or no answer.
No,
I was
no.
Like, I'm giving you thought out. Full-on response.
Yeah, this is great. Okay, let's go Scream.
I never have watched those. Just seen all the Halloween costumes.
That's fascinating. So you are aware, but that's as far as... No way! Armenteros is on via base on balls. And that's back-to-back walks given out, one of which came on four pitches, and the second of which, Lázaro Armenteros worked from Guzman.
I'm like Scream, Jesse. I'm there, but you don't know where I'm at.
Is that what it is?
I guess.
Here comes Jack Winkler.
It'd be something here to see the Lugnuts, after they leave the bases loaded with Whitecaps, can come back and take an early lead. That's what you call flipping the momentum and helping out your pitcher.
Well, yesterday, in game two of the doubleheader, the Lugnuts only had one base runner the whole game. They've got two in a row here. The first pitch to Winkler. A fastball roars in. A called strike on the outside corner. Jack Winkler has shown off a great batting eye with the Lugnuts. This is his fourth game. He has a single and three walks. No score, top of the second. The pitch, swing and a miss on the curve. And he swung so hard, he swung himself down to one knee.
He was trying to time up that one. Came up in the zone on the inner half of the plate, and he was ready for it, but still couldn't connect.
Saeed Valenzuela is waiting on deck. Guzman deals the 0-2, but wait, hang on. Time, and the bases umpire, Mitch Treziak, I believe, spotted the pitch clock violation. There it is. And so, ball one for Winkler. Adjust things accordingly. The pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. Fastball by him. First strikeout for Guzman.
Guzman says, take that.
However, that's two pitch clock violations for Guzman, mm-hmm. And I wonder, does that get in a pitcher's head?
Well, in that sequence, no. But you're right. That might have to literally and figuratively speed him up here.
Saheed Valenzuela is a switch hitter. Bats left. Soderstrom at second. Armenteros at first. The breaking ball inside. Ball one. So anyway, Adam, you should see North by Northwest. List. I still need to show you Lord of the Rings. Valenzuela takes ball two outside. Fastball.
You do.
See, this is the thing. Adam and I were together for 132 games, so we get a chance to enjoy ourselves in and out of baseball season. A 2-0. Fouled straight back. Valenzuela had a rip on the two-ball fastball. Saheed is playing in game number three this year with Lansing. He is 1-for-6 with a single and a walk. Batting seventh in the order, playing second base. No score. 2-1, one out for the Lugnuts in the second. The pitch. Inside. Tough take for ball three. Adam, this feels a little bit like what happened to C.V. Emanuels in the bottom of the first inning, where Guzman, out of nowhere, has lost his command. He recovered to whiff Winkler. However, he's in trouble. 3-1. Driven foul down the left side. That's a good whack by Valenzuela.
Really, the only difference is from one inning to the other, where Emmanuel's lost the touch in the middle of the half inning. It just started with five straight balls, from Guzman in this second inning.
Here's his pitch. That, too, is lined foul down the left. And off to the grassy hill. Soderstrom at second base. Armenteros at first. Armenteros has great speed. If Valenzuela finds a gap, well, he could score two. Guzman with a 3-2 pitch. Called strike three on the inside corner. Strike at number two in a row. And two overall in the game for Carlos Guzman.
It shows you how talented these pitchers are, right? I mean, they can flip a switch, and even in the middle of an at-bat, they miss a couple pitches, and all of a sudden you come back, and after five straight balls to start this half inning, he's got back-to-back strikeouts.
He struck out eight in four innings on opening night against Great Lakes. Now he deals to Matt second. Cross looks at a called strike one, the fastball from Guzman. Matt is 0-for-7 in his first two games with the Lugnuts, with a walk and four strikeouts. The pitch. There's the big curve, but it looped inside. One ball, one strike on the native of Buffalo. Soderstrom led off with a walk. Armenteros drew a walk, but back-to-back strikeouts. The pitch. Ground ball left side. Gloved by third baseman Avogado. Briefly fumbled it, recovered to throw to first to get Cross on the side retired. And the Lugnuts do nothing with those two walks to open up the inning. Soderstrom was at second and Armenteros at first with nobody out. They're stranded there, and we remain scoreless on our way to the bottom half of the second inning from LMCU Ballpark. Lansing nothing, West Michigan nothing.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Mike Rothenberg leads off the bottom of the second inning. First pitch, down and away from the right-hander Stevie Emanuels. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. It's no score. 0-0, Lansing and West Michigan. Game four of the six-game series coming your way on a Friday night. Roddy Emanuels to the number seven batter in the Whitecaps order. Check swing, strike called by home plate umpire Treziak. Rothenberg, Packard, Malgeri, 7-8-9. Rothenberg, a switch hitter, batting left. The Whitecaps catcher waits on a 1-1. Here it is. High and outside. Two balls and one strike.
These guys are back, huh?
They maybe never left.
I'm hearing some lingering chants from last night's game.
The dueling chants from just that small group of fans. What if they have season tickets? 2-1 pitch. Hit high in the air and foul. Off to the left and onto the rooftop. Two balls, two strikes on Rothenberg.
Well, I suppose then we'll see them come May.
Sure. Hopefully they haven't grown bigger by then. Emanuels, two strikeouts in the scoreless first. Deals the 2-2. Swing and a miss. Strikeout number three. He tied him in knots with a curveball. Rothenberg is at number one. Bring up Bryant Packard.
Well, let's hope that little stint where he just kind of lost his command is it. And now he locks back in. Back-to-back strikeouts since that stretch. Very impressive from Emanuels.
Scoreless in the home second. One out, nobody on. For the left. Emanuels throws. A fastball fouled up and away to the left. Strike one. Thickly overcast skies above. Stevie Emanuels, the native of Bellevue, Washington, is wearing short sleeves. Bryant Packard is bundled up. He swings and dribbles it right out of the mound. Accepted by Emanuels. Quickly off the hill, first base side, to flip it to cross at first. Two outs. Like a cat, Adam.
You know, that brought back memories of last year, Jesse, and I can't believe I even had to think to remember who it was that never would throw the baseball to first. He'd always just run it there himself. William Simonite.
That's right.
I thought Stevie Emanuels was going to take it the whole way there.
Here's Ben Malgeri. Swing and a miss. Strike one on the high cheddar. That turned into a running gag.
So much is so that we asked him about it.
Yeah. Strike one offering on its way. Outside and low on the curve. One ball, one strike. No score. Bottom of the second inning. Malgeri, the number nine batter, the starting center fielder, is open up the year 1-for-13. Emanuels to the plate. A high fastball popped foul to our right and down. Ball and two strikes of Malgeri. Not only is Malgeri 1-for-13, Adam, he has struck out seven times already this year. That ties him with Packard for the team lead in that category. Stevie Emanuels has them all set up. Emanuels in his first appearance of the year, the three relief innings. Struck out two batters in each frame. Struck out two in the first inning here. Can he get two now in the second? He throws. Yes, he can. Slider pulled up. And down he goes. Strikeout number four for Emanuels. That concludes a perfect bottom of the second. Stevie Emanuels, a sharp half inning. And we go to the third now from LMCU Ballpark. Lansing and West Michigan, scoreless from Comstock Park.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself.
and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
Third inning coming up here from West Michigan. Lugnuts and Whitecaps battling. First pitch from Guzman down low. Second pitch in there called strike. It's the nine batter, Brian Buelvas, who's batting. Lugnuts looking for their first base hit tonight. Do have a couple of walks from Soderstrom and Armenteros. The pitch home. Swing and it's lifted. First base side. Holton coming in front of the bag and steps to his right. Just a touch inside fair territory. There's the first out. So far it's been kind of the same for Carlos Guzman, who went four innings, had eight strikeouts, only gave up the run in his first outing. He's got two strikeouts so far, no hits given up, no runs. Now we go back through the order for a second time, beginning with Eurybiel Angeles. Pitch one. Slider misses low and outside. Angeles sent a looping ball into center field, and it just dropped out of the mid of Colt Keith. This one is struck much better, but out to left center field and hangs up, and it's an out. Much better in terms of distance, but still kind of that lofted wedge shot. And Packer makes the catch for the second out.
Not barrel contact on either one of his swings so far.
Yeah, and that's what we've been getting accustomed to seeing. Shaking off that right hand. I believe, you look down, he's still got the San Diego Padres-flavored batting gloves on.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
The first pitch to Butler. That's down low.
I talked with the hitting coach, Javier Godard, about that, and Javi said, we got to get him some green ones.
Again, he came in and was traded right when the team came to town. The 1-0. That's up and outside. Two balls, no strikes. No score. We're in the top of the third on a chilly Friday evening in mid-April. Happy birthday, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. The pitch. That's low and outside. Three balls, no strikes. Did you get showered with love today?
Yeah, it's been nice. Folks are nice.
3-0. That's in there for a called strike. That's how it should be, right? We've got to celebrate the birthday and celebrate Passover coming up.
Got my matzah.
3-1 pitch. Swing and that's foul back. Three balls, two strikes. Of course, good. A lot going on. And baseball in full swing, even with the chilly temperatures. Payoff pitch. Swing and that's laced out over the jumping shortstop Cruz into center field. There's hit number one for the man wearing number one, Lawrence Butler. Good inside out poke.
It's much better by Lawrence. I think, Adam, this is just anecdotally, that he's leading the Lugnuts in three-ball, two-strike counts this year. He keeps getting it deep. But then how does he finish it? And here he finished it well. Nice line drive right over the leaping Trey Cruz.
That's the next step, right? Three-quarters of its at-bats have been great, but finishing on that last pitch, the next step. Harris sends this skying upward, and it'll come back into the lower bowl, bounce off the concrete in between the seats. Strike one on Brett Harris. No score, top three, two outs. Lawrence Butler at first base. Brett Harris flied out to left in his first at bat. Six for his first 18, batting just up over 330. The pitch from Guzman. drops inside. One ball, one strike. We'll be back here tomorrow for a couple of matinees this weekend, 2 o'clock on both Saturday and Sunday. 1-1 pitch. Low and outside. Two balls and a strike. That'll mean heat wave, right? That's the warmest part of the day.
Play while the sun is still shining. Although, who's to say we're going to see the sun, considering all the cloud cover?
There's always gray up there, isn't there? At least here in the state of Michigan, it seems like. 2-1. Harris turns as that one comes close to him, but misses. Three balls and a strike for the former Gonzaga Bulldog. Turned Lansing Lugnut and Oakland Athletic. First full season with the Nuts. Joined after he was drafted last year in midsummer. Pitch comes inside. There's a five-pitch walk by Guzman, but three walks allowed. That's a credit to this Lugnuts hitting. They came into this game with 24 walks, and they may not have the offensive slugging numbers yet that we think they might be capable of accruing, but those walks are certainly up. So it's the second straight inning. The Lugnuts have runners at first and second. And Tyler Soderstrom an opportunity. Three for his first 21 to start the season. But he barreled one as that pitch drops down low. Ball one to end the game yesterday. It was caught, but it was one of the best hit balls in that one hitter where the Lugnuts were shut out in game two, 6-0. A stretch pitch from Guzman. In there with the fastball, strike one. Jackie Robinson Day, so we see the 42 emblem painted down the first and third baseline, 42 in white, and the blue around it, the Dodger blue. The pitch, that's in there, strike two.
Adam, I pulled up an article written for The Athletic by Rhiannon Walker, 75 facts about Jackie Robinson. 75 years after he integrated.
Here goes Lawrence Butler, by the way, and he just swiped third base. And now we've got a balk on Guzman as he got caught looking at Lawrence Butler. And that'll move Harris to second. Good heads up there from Lawrence Butler as Guzman wasn't aware.
The shame of it for Lawrence is that's going to take away the stolen base from him. But it was his own aggressiveness that forced the balk. He was 9/10 of the way to third base.
Instead, you mentioned it, won't count as a stolen base. Pitch down low inside. Carry on, Jesse.
Let me give you a couple of facts about Jackie Robinson over the course of this game. For example, at age 15, Jackie Robinson won the Pasadena, California City Ping Pong Tournament.
Oh, that's epic. He's great at everything. Not just baseball, ping pong, track and field. Two ball, two strike pitch. Swing and Soderstrom waves it back off the netting.
That Jackie ever played in. He reached the semifinals. So he came back the next year and he won that one too. Talk about an athlete.
You have that winning itch. That competitiveness. Got to go be great at everything. 2-2. Soderstrom sweeps his feet back as it comes inside. Three balls, two strikes. Butler is at third. Harris at second. We're still waiting for this evening's first run. We had runs early on in both games yesterday. West Michigan has scored first in all three games in this series. Lugnuts a chance to change the tie. The 3-2. Swing and a miss, and Soderstrom lets out a loud yell of frustration because it was outside. He knew it, but he couldn't quite hold up. And Guzman gets away with one instead of potentially having the bases loaded and two outs. The inning is over, and we move to the bottom of the third as three outs up on the scoreboard. Still no score, nothing to nothing between the Lugnuts and the Whitecaps at LMCU Ballpark.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection, call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Tough to beat baseball on the weekend, and we're pushing towards it Friday evening on the west side of the state. Adam Jackson, Jesse Goldberg-Stressler with you. No score as Stevie Emanuels rocks and throws pitch one of inning three, and it's inside to Parker Meadows. 1-2-3 due up. Meadows, Drake Cruz, and Colt Keith against Stevie Emanuels. Each pitcher has allowed just one base hit. Stevie Emanuels has racked up four strikeouts. His second pitch, Meadows ropes this down the first base side, carrying, and it's fair, off the wall. It darts out to Butler in a hurry. He quickly wings it in, but Meadows' speed gets him to second, and he's got another extra base hit.
That's that beautiful left-handed swing, Adam. That ball did not miss going out of here by very much.
Four doubles this year for Parker Meadows. That'll even him up with his home run count as well. What a season he's having to start this year.
I do think that's going to be an interesting question, because he has played so many games in West Michigan. Is how long do the Tigers leave him here before they bump him up to double A?
Trey Cruz steps in from the left side. Pitch one. Outside. Ball one. You put any stock into the fact that his brother's up there at the big league level, and he's trying to get there a little bit quicker? I know it kind of turned into a funny story, but I think there's something to be said there, that you talk about competitiveness. How about competitiveness within your own family and just getting a chance to see your brother more? The pinch down low.
I do think that he's playing with a lot more happiness. First saw him with West Michigan, he was in his own head. They fired the hitting coach because he was having such a struggle of a time. I think that this year his outlook is better.
The 2-0 pitch. That's up high. I think some of that comes from the major league team just being better, right? I mean, a lot of why he had so much pressure is because the Tigers are looking for those next offensive bats. And now that they've got some viable options up there while still having some good products in the system, maybe people can relax a little bit about it. That pitch is upstairs. Four in a row out to Trey Cruz, who doubled in his first at-bat, and the first two have reached in the third against Stevie Emanuels in a scoreless game.
Like there's an on-off switch right now for Stevie's command.
Trying to figure out that consistency in his first start of 2022. He had six starts last year, seven games for the Lugnuts before he was shut down due to an injury. First pitch hit hard past the diving cross at first and down the line. This will score the game's first run. Parker Meadows strides in over to second. The throw a little bit offline. Pulled back in by Winkler. Tag applied. But Keith is in safely. It's the third double and the second in this half inning. And it supplies the Whitecaps' first run.
If you waver in the slightest, if you're not sharp against this West Michigan offense with the way that they're swinging the bats right now, they make you pay. And that's what we saw with Meadows. Cruz came up there and was patient, and Colt Keith then ambushed Stevie.
Again, it has been all the top of the order. Now, you expect that, but to see it consistently happen with the first four, five guys, that's why Brian Pena puts them where they are, and the first three have reached safely in this third inning. Still at second and third, nobody out. Pitch one to Holton is sprayed down the right field side and into the berm. A couple of youngsters chasing after the souvenir. for a fourth straight game, West Michigan scores first. Cruz is at third. Keith is at second. Now all guys in the top five in this order have reached safely at least once. The pitch. Good change of pace and swing and a miss from Holton. No balls and two strikes. Meadows with the double and the run scored in this inning. Trey Cruz with a double and a walk. Colt Keith with a double. Jake Holton batting now, walked in the first inning. Then Austin Murr hitting fifth, walked in the first inning. They have been potent at the top. The pitch. Outside, and that gets under the glove of Soderstrom, and in comes Cruz to score. 2-0 Whitecaps. Keith to third.
The wild pitch had been Emmanuel's enemy his first time on the mound. Tossed three wild pitches in three innings his last time that we saw him. And this is not the time for it.
It's that slider that typically gives the catchers some difficulty. The 1-2 pitch way outside, and it's two balls, two strikes. 2-0 Whitecaps. Infield now drawn in across from right to left. Cross, Valenzuela, Winkler, and Harris. In closer on the right side of the infield. The pitch lifted out to left and over the head of Buelvas. That one will bounce and head over the wall. It's a double. And Keith comes in to score easily. An automatic double from Holton is the third two-bagger in this third inning.
So how does Stevie Emmanuels respond? Meadows, Keith, and Holton have all barreled him.
We'll see what the right-hander's got. First steps in from the left, the first pitch. Fastball on the outside corner. Three runs now on four hits. Remember, coming into this third inning, the Whitecaps had had just one hit. But just as we had talked about with the Lugnuts going through the order for a second time, take a look what West Michigan has done the second time through their order. Double, walk, double, double. The pitch. Swing, and it's poked out to left. Jumping grab by Winkler on the fringe of the grass. And scrambling back to second is Holton. That easily could have been another base hit on a line drive the other way. Winkler with an important catch and first down.
That wasn't a bad pitch either by Emmanuels. Kept it down and away from Austin Murr. Murr, a very good hitter. Got his barrel out there, and that's a poke shot. It's a good job by Jack Winkler. Fine defensive shortstop covering the ground to his right.
Is that earn a star on the scorecard?
I didn't put one, but it's a very important catch.
Navagadu sends this out to deep right. Armenteros going back towards the track, towards the wall. Runs into the wall, and he can't hold on to it. And the ball comes spraying out to Butler, who picks it up in center. Sends it to Winkler, and sliding in safely with a triple is Andrew Navagadu. It's 4-0 Whitecaps. That ball was smoked.
It's a fastball up. And Andrew Navagadu hit it to the deepest part of the yard.
And they are hammering everything in this third inning. Three doubles and now a triple. And they have not been cheapies. Gabriel Ozuna, the pitching coach for the Lugnuts, will make his trot out with the giant Lugnuts winter jacket on. Soderstrom will join him. And all of a sudden, the Whitecaps again. Time two through the order has been much different than the first time around.
Adam, I feel like this is what you and I saw a little bit last year from Stevie, where he'd be sailing right along and then would start to hit him.
And it usually was, again, right around the second time through the order, third or fourth inning. He would get through first couple of frames and wouldn't even see the first inning that we had where he had the bases loaded. He was getting through them pretty comfortably. Not the same tonight, though. At least in this third inning. Bases infield again drawn in with the runner at third. The pitch. Shot foul down the third base side. Strike one. Mike Rothenberg at the plate. This is the part of the order last night that was struck out three times in a row on nine straight pitches. Immaculate. Half inning. The pitch. Swinging a hard hit. Shot past Cross as he dove to his right. Couldn't get to it. Another rocket and another run. 5-0 Whitecaps.
Everything is hard hit. That one was on the ground, but just no chance, no time for Matt Cross to respond to it. That's a breaking ball from Emmanuels.
Certainly doesn't help that the infield was in there in reaction time, but I'm not sure Cross would have got to that anyway if he was in his normal position. Five run, third inning. The pitch home. Lifted out to center field. On the run is Armenteros, but he'll hold on to it at the track for the third and final out, as that's the second out, rather.
Armenteros thought it was the third out.
And I thought it was the second out, but I got fooled by Armenteros.
Look, I'm very glad that the left fielder Bravas was over there saying, give me the ball. Give me the ball right now. And Mike Rothenberg at first base wasn't running with his head up. Because Lázaro Armenteros make that catch, and he started to jog back into the infield.
He fooled me. Made me second guess and got me. Pitch down low. Ben Meltzer to come up in this third inning. What an outpouring right now from the Whitecaps to take command of this game. And really, Stevie Emmanuels, after he came back, had a nice second inning. Didn't see this coming. 1-0 pitch. And on the hands, and it's jammed to a foul ball down the right field side. Crowd staying warm again tonight with the blankets, scarves out, hoodies, hats, gloves, but enjoying some baseball here in April. Comes back to the state of Michigan. Pitch home. A little bit wide. Two balls and a strike. We enjoyed our first taste of home Lansing Lugnuts baseball this past weekend. Also the Crosstown Showdown last Wednesday. 2-1 pitch. In on the hands, and it's sent shallow out to right center field. This is trouble, and it's over the head of Valenzuela and falls in. He ropes it into third, though, on one hop, and the tag from Harris is a little bit late. Rothenberg slides in, and they're at the corners with two outs.
That's bad luck for Stevie Emmanuels. He sawed off Ben Malgeri. Simply a Texas leaguer over Valenzuela, and it's bad news because it turns the lineup over. And you know who is coming right back up.
Parker Meadows, as they officially bat around in the third, stepping to the plate for a second time. Two pitches into this half inning, and he doubled. One of three doubles and four extra base hits, the other a triple. Five runs have come in. The pitch home. Meadows takes it wide. Ball one.
Joe Demers is warming in the Lugnuts pen.
We'll see if Emmanuels can get through this third inning. You would imagine it's going to be the end of the night. Either way, the pitch. Inside, two balls, no strikes. Good stop by Soderstrom. Lugnuts playing tonight in season. Technically their eighth after the seven-inning exhibition last Wednesday for the Crosstown Showdown. The pitch home. That shoots in on the outside corner. Two balls and a strike. It's been unfamiliar for them to play nine-inning regular games because they've already had two doubleheaders and that Crosstown Showdown was seven, so five of their eight games, including that exhibition, have been seven-inning contests. The pitch poked back. Two balls, two strikes. So that shows you how young we are still into this 2022 season.
The Lugnuts are trailing after seven innings. Somebody make sure that nobody goes back to the clubhouse.
Two more innings left to go. Hopefully those help them come back. Pitch. Sprayed back up towards the suites. Karam's off the front railing and back down into the lower bowl.
Nice catch made by a fan.
Keeping them on their toes. Two balls, two strikes on Parker Meadows. He's got nine hits already on the season, four home runs, four doubles. A pitch home. Swinging, it's hard hit towards second. Valenzuela to his knees, to his right, flips it to second, and Winkler brings it in. That's a great play on another hard hit ball, and the Lugnuts are out of the half inning. But 10 batters come to the plate. The Whitecaps get six hits and score five. We will head to the fourth as the Whitecaps in front, 5-0.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 65, whose identities are confidential.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
The West Michigan Whitecaps scored five runs in the bottom of the third inning. So let's go to the fourth and let's see what the Lugnuts can do about it. The very first pitch to Lázaro Armenteros is grounded down to third. Andrew Navigado's throw to first is high, but Holton came down on the bag in time. And with that one pitch and one out for Carlos Guzman. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. It's 5-0 Whitecaps.
It is. It's the fourth inning.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Hey, man, it's your birthday, you know?
It was a very long third inning. Adam gets the call for the fourth. Sorry about that.
Oh, well, here we go. Winkler takes a ball.
Do you want the fifth inning, too?
No. I'm telling you, these seven-inning games have thrown us off
it's
a little
true.
Bit.
It's so true.
Here comes pitch two to Winkler. And that's in there for a call.
Speedy, everything is coming forward, so now we have the catcher, Rothenberg, didn't even throw it back to the pitcher. Got away from Carlos Guzman.
Everything is out of sorts.
No, Adam, I'm sorry. Can I pacify you with a donut?
The pitch? That's down low. No, those are for you.
Well, I've eaten three so far. I'm sure I could pack another couple down, right?
Absolutely. That pitch is outside. Two balls and two strikes.
I'm honestly sorry.
It's quite all right. 3-1. Shot out to right field. Hanging up, though, and a back pedal from Meadows. And that is a quick second out.
Can I give you another Jackie Robinson fact?
Let's hear it.
From New York Renaissance player John Isaacs. He said that Jackie Robinson was the very first player whoever you saw dunking in a basketball game.
Was there a sport that he wasn't good at? No. The pitch on the outside corner to Saheed Valenzuela. No balls, one strike, 5-0 Whitecaps. Top four, the pitch. Up high, 1-1.
First player ever to earn varsity letters in four sports at UCLA, football, basketball, track, and baseball.
Incredible. The pitch. That's on the ground to the left side. Backhanded, though, by Cruz as he was over towards second. Plucks it, throws to first in time. And that is a quick fourth inning after a lengthy third it took just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pitches. And that will get us to the bottom of the fourth. Whitecaps still in front, 5-0 from LMCU Ballpark.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonarylivebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful, pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets, anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
All right, we move to the bottom of the fourth inning, where it's West Michigan in front, 5-0 in the fourth. And Stevie Emanuels is coming back out here for this fourth inning. And the first pitch to Cruz is swung on and fouled back. So how about that? He has that lengthy third inning, and they're going to send him back out. That was his 63rd pitch that he just threw, an opportunity for him to showcase a little toughness, see if he can come right back and get some outs. Pitch. Fouled back again by Cruz, 0-2.
Stevie in the first was erratic, but he got out of it. In the second, he was dominant. In the third, he was hit hard. His pitch count is not the issue. It's just such a fine line between dominating the opposition and having it go the other way against you.
Second pitch, or third pitch rather, is a swing and a miss, and Soderstrom hangs, and a strikeout to Cruz as he's gone for the first time tonight.
That's a player who doubled and walked against him, and Trey Cruz had no chance in that plate appearance.
And that's the Stevie Emanuels that the A's covet right there. Now it's just about finding that consistency. Colt Keith into the box, 1-for-2 tonight. The pitch. That skips and hits off of the plate. Ricochets over towards the first base dugout.
I know that Phil Pohl and his players want nothing more than to win this game. But you know, in the minor leagues, the greater story is getting these players up toward the major leagues.
The 1-0. Up high, 2 balls, no strikes.
And that's what this is about. And that's why Stevie wasn't pulled for Joe Namir's last inning. He's got things that he's working on. And so because his pitch count isn't that high, he can go out there and keep on pitching.
His third pitch coming. And it's on the outside part of the plate. So here's that inconsistency within just a span of 2 batters. Comes in with 3 straight strikes. Looks effortless and then comes back with 3 straight balls. Righty on lefty, and he throws. In there, strike one to the big fella, Colt Keith.
I mean, I've seen major leaguers, Adam, who struggled terribly while they were in Lansing. Daniel Norris had some ups and downs. Dan Jimenez, we talked about the other day, now he's in the A's bullpen.
Everybody's time is different. The pitch launched out to center field. Armenteros to his left has room, and on the jog to his left makes the catch. 2 outs.
What I come back to, though, I remember a pitching coach telling me that he did not want his pitchers, at the first time that they got into trouble with their command or they started to get hit, to look over their shoulders at the bullpen. Don't think about that. Don't think about when are you going to get pulled from the game. Just keep on attacking these hitters, even when you're facing adverse conditions.
The pitch in there, strike one. Fastball at 89, the gun says here at LMCU Ballpark. 5-0 Whitecaps, all five coming in that last half inning. And a nice little comebacker here for Stevie Emmanuel if he can get him 1-2-3 in the fourth. The pitch home. Rubs inside, doesn't hit Holton. One ball, one strike. Holton 2-for-2 in terms of getting on base. An RBI double in his last at-bat. Walked in the first. Everybody has gotten on tonight outside of Brian Packard, the eighth hitter. The pitch, that's a little bit wide, maybe a touch up. Two balls and a strike. We play here in West Michigan while we have FOMO over in Michigan State Capitol. Michigan and Michigan State battling. The pitch, 2-1, swing and a miss. Last we checked, Michigan was up big on Michigan State 12-2, but
it's 13 now.
13-2. That game started at 5 o'clock. Saw that the ESPN broadcasters were raving about how great Jackson Field is. One of the best kept secrets in all of minor league baseball, I think, right there.
Hank, they're not even there, right? They're calling the game from a studio near Bristol.
Oh, I don't know. 2-2. Down low. 3 balls, 2 strikes.
But they're not wrong.
Cameras can do amazing things even if you're not there. And it looks great on TV. We had it pulled up here in the booth for a little bit. 3 balls, 2 strikes. 2 outs, base is clear. Emmanuel's the come home. Down low, outside, ball 4. And he's issued his 4th walk. Second one to Holton. He's on for a 3rd time. And that's going to be it. So Emmanuel's is going to be done as Phil Pohl comes out. He will go to the bullpen, and the Lugnuts will make the change. They were going to give him 3 more batters to see if he could get through it. He got 2 of the 3, and then Austin Murr coming up, and they will go to the pen to make the change.
It reminds me a little bit of Osvaldo Berríos in the series opener. Remember, he gave up 1 in the first, 4 runs in the 2nd inning, and then in the 3rd and the 4th innings, he held West Michigan scoreless. So for Emmanuel's, it's 5 runs right now allowed in 3 2/3. Now, Adam, the larger story for the Lansing Lugnuts starting pitchers. Starting pitchers coming into play today for the Lugnuts had an ERA at 8.46, and the league was batting 3.23 against them. Compared to relievers, the league batting 200, the ERA at 3.70. When you look at the Lugnuts record at 2-4, it is right now doing part to the starters, putting them in hole.
And it's different than what we saw from Emmanuel's, because in a non-starting role, Jesse, he was pretty successful the other day. Put him in a starting role, and for whatever reason, just as we've talked about the Whitecaps scoring first in all these games, Lansing has struggled outside of the Lake County game to close out the series on Sunday and getting on the board.
Joe Demirs is the new man on the mound, Adam. The 25-year-old out of Boise, Idaho. 2 innings so far this year. He's made 1 appearance, allowing 1 hit, 1 run. He hit a batter. He walked a batter. He struck out a batter. That was back in game 1 of the doubleheader last Saturday, the very first game of the Lugnut season against the Lake County Captains. He has not pitched since then.
All righty. So Demirs will get Austin Murr. Whitecaps in front 5-0. They've got a runner at first with 2 outs. We're in the bottom of the 4th on a chilly night at Comstock Park.
How's your heater working over there?
Not hot enough. But I'll take it. 43 degrees tonight. The pitch. That's on the outside corner, strike 1. We talked about it yesterday, but what's 43 would feel amazing. You're dealing with anywhere from sub-freezing temperatures to 15, 20 degrees. As soon as you taste that 70-degree weather, it's over. Pitch down low inside. Good stop from Tyler Soderstrom, and it's a ball and a strike. By the way, the Lugnuts, including that game against Michigan State, that's 8 games. They have scored first in just 1. That Lake County finale on Sunday is the only game they've scored first in. So that'll be something to watch as the year continues. Quick throw over to first and an awkward slide back in, but Holton gets there.
I think that goes part and parcel with the starters' struggles.
100%.
That the offense just is not having the chance to jump on the other team. Right now, the Lugnuts are getting outscored in the first inning of games, 9-3, and that's even with West Michigan getting blanked today.
So there you go. Something the Lugnuts will look at, part of their early improvements they'll try and make, as that one flies wide, two balls and a strike. The other one, you would certainly look at the base running, and even the hitting still trying to come along. It's a work in progress. It's the first week of the season, and they're trying to iron out the kinks. Trail by five here in the fourth. 2-1 pitch coming. Swing and a miss from Murr. Good off speed there, and he was waving at that one awkwardly.
Just to emphasize that point, Adam, Lugnuts have allowed 42 runs to the opposition this year, and more than half of those runs have been scored in the first three innings.
To be fair, that's been half of most of their games. The pitch, outer part of the plate. Again, they've played so many sevens, four of them already in the season. But it tells the story, and all fits together. Early runs, struggles pitching, getting behind. Usually the team that scores first is got a great chance to come out on top. 2-2 pitch. Swing, and it's fouled down the first base distance here within the diamond. We've talked about that. There's a lot. It's reminiscent of the Coliseum, right? They've got a ton of foul territory up and down the first and third baselines.
So much. Update from Michigan, Michigan State. Wolverines are leading 18-3.
Oh, my goodness. The pitch home. This is hit hard. One hopper backs up Valenzuela on the fringe. She throws to first, cross catches. And that's going to do it. So nice job by Joe Demers. Helps close the book for Stevie Emanuels. Comes in for one batter, gets the out. The umpire checks his hand. He's all set. We will go to the fifth. The birthday man, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, has the play-by-play when we return. Whitecaps in front, 5-0.
Adam, are you sure? Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we... Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
Matt Cross leads off the top of the fifth inning for the Lugnuts, down 5-0. Swings the first pitch and lines it into center field. And a base hit against Carlos Guzman. Center fielder Malcheri gets it in. A single for the Lansing Lugnuts first baseman. Brian Buelvas comes up now, followed by the top of the order and a Rebiel Angeles. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. A 5-run bottom of the third inning right now is telling the tale for the Lugnuts facing a 5-0 deficit in West Michigan. Whitecaps right-hander Guzman throws. Buelvas takes. High. Ball one. Buelvas popped out to the first baseman, Holton, his first time up. Cross not really a threat to run at first base as Buelvas lifts this one to first and a foul ground Holton. He's got another. A foul out. Buelvas is 0 for 2. And there's one gone on the top of the fifth. Well, we're talking about Jackie Robinson on Jackie Robinson Day around baseball. 75 years ago, April the 15th, 1947, Jackie Robinson made his major league debut for the Brooklyn Dodgers. One of the great baseball trivia questions of all time. Who was the first rookie of the year? There's a called strike to Aribiel Angeles. Yes, Adam?
In 1947, it was Jackie Robinson.
There you go.
Did I get the year right?
Yes. 0-1. Angeles lines it down the right field line. That's down for a base hit. Meadows over to cut it off on the warning track. Around a third base, Matt Cross held up by Phil Pohl. Great job, Meadows, getting it in. And Angeles is held to sink the corners for the Lugnuts on Angeles' first hit, quote-unquote, of the game.
Wow, I think he was a little shy there, Jesse. I know Meadows, he did do a good job of getting it in, but I still thought Angeles was going to get to second with no problem.
You think he played it ultra-cautiously because Lansing's down by five and the Lugnuts have been running themselves into outs?
I think so. So when you say it like that, it certainly is understandable and is fine, but I thought he could have got two there.
Lawrence Butler takes a backdoor breaking ball, a called strike one. Men at first and third, one out. The Lugnuts are down 5-0. So Jack Roosevelt Robinson, day to honor him. Guzman throws. Butler takes. Ball one outside. Jack Roosevelt Robinson because he was named for Teddy Roosevelt, President Theodore Roosevelt, who died 25 days before Jackie Robinson was born in 1919. 1-1. Again, the breaking ball missed outside. Two balls and a strike on Butler, who was 1-for-2 with a single. The hitter's pitch. Chopper hit on the right side. In comes second baseman Keith. A run will score as the other hands over to Holton at first base. Butler is at number two. Cross checks in at home plate. Angeles up to second. Lansing trails 5-1. And next up is Brett Harris. Been talking about Jackie Robinson's road to the major leagues and especially talking about just how decorated he was as a teenager, as a collegiate player. We'll do our Lansing Lugnuts trivia question of the game around, once again, another collegiate feat for Jackie, who broke the color line in baseball in 1947. Here comes a visit to the mound by the manager for West Michigan, Brian Pena, and we'll see if that's all for Carlos Guzman. 1940, UCLA, Jackie Robinson won the NCAA championship in which track and field sport? Pena will stay with Guzman to take on Brett Harris. 1940, and Jackie Robinson was an NCAA champion in a specific track and field sport. Name it. Contact us at Adam Jaxa or at Jay Goldstrass, JGOLDSTRASS. Angeles at second, two outs. The pitch to Brett Harris. Inside, off speed for ball one. Adam knew this one immediately.
Well, he is just, he was such a talent. Every sport, everything he did. He drew a crowd and was fun to watch.
The pitch. Inside and low, a curveball for ball two to Harris, who is 0-for-1 with a walk.
Brett Harris, an absolute statue if that ball gets anywhere close to him. If it's going to hit him, it's going to hit him.
He was hit by a lot of pitches at Gonzaga. The 2-0 on its way. Check swing, missed in, ball three. You know, Jackie Robinson, the first game that he played for the college baseball squad at UCLA, he was 4-for-4, and he stole home twice. How about that for a first impression? Three balls and no strikes. The pitch. On the outside corner, called strike one. Jackie Robinson's number 42 has been painted in the grass down the first base and third base side, painted in white in the Dodger numeral on a blue circle, the Dodger blue.
The Brooklyn Dodger blue, right?
The pitch. That is yanked hard and foul up the third base side. At the time, Brooklyn Dodger Blue, and now we can simply say Dodger Blue, they brought it to L.A., but he never played in L.A., played with Brooklyn. And then the Brooklyn Dodgers traded him to the New York Giants, and Jackie retired rather than to play for the hated Giants. Imagine Jackie Robinson and Willie Mays as teammates. Three balls and two strikes. Two outs. Runner at second. The payoff. Outside corner called strike three. Brett Harris and the Lugnuts are retired in the top of the fifth inning. We'll talk more about Jackie on Jackie Robinson Day around baseball. And on the outfield, there is now Jackie Robinson's number 42 in Lansing, Michigan. Here in West Michigan, it's the Whitecaps leading the Lugnuts 5-1. One run came in for the Lugs on two hits and one runner stranded. We're halfway to the house from LMCU Ballpark.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the corporate sales manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
The Lugnuts are on the board as we go to the bottom half of the fifth inning, now trailing 5-1 at West Michigan. On the reliever, Joe Demers stays in, recorded the final out of the bottom of the fourth inning, stranding a white cap on, fires to Andrew Navigato. First offering is skied, foul ground, first base way. Matt Cross heads over, and the first baseman squeezes with the left hand, out number one, collected right in front of the first base side camera well. Mike Rothenberg comes up next, then Bryant Packard. The 7 and 8 batters in the West Michigan order. With Adam Jaxa, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Reading about all these wonderful 75 facts collected by Rhiannon Walker for The Athletic. And Adam, I just continue to scroll through and keep on seeing things that I did not know. The pitch to Mike Rothenberg on the outside, or I should say the inside corner, called strike one. All right, so 1947. Jackie has won the Rookie of the Year, right? 1948, how did Jackie spend his off season? Here comes the 0-1. Check swing, called a strike on the outside corner to Rothenberg. Nothing and two. So, Jackie Robinson, after his rookie year in the major leagues, did a tour around the South. He answered pre-planned questions about his life, and they fed him. They fed him a lot. Said his wife, he used to put away a pint of ice cream and pies and cakes. He showed up the next year 25 pounds overweight and put up identical numbers. This pitch is down low, and it's one ball and two strikes on Rothenberg. Can you imagine? So in 1949, Jackie got in shape, and then he went out and won the National League MVP award. The 1-2 pitch. Check swing, low. Two balls, two strikes.
Just insanity.
In 1951, there was a threat that was sent in, and the FBI and Cincinnati police were all over the Cincinnati Reds' Crossley Field. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. That is line foul down the left side. We've shared to understand the danger and the constant stress that Robinson went through. The writer of this letter said before that day's game, they'd be stationed in a nearby building overlooking Crossley Field. They'd had a scoped rifle, and they were ready to pick off Jackie Robinson if he stepped foot on the field. 2-2. Grounded foul up the right side. The writer was never discovered. Jackie Robinson and his teammates, Robinson said, he told the boys not to get too close to me on the field today. And the fellows were all kidding about how they'd confused the shooter by all wearing number 42. Which, now that's done in baseball, to honor him. You know, how did Jackie Robinson respond with the FBI and police all over looking for that potential assassin? He homered to dead center field in Cincinnati. 3-2 pitch. Up high and away. Ball four. Or was that? The scoreboard said 3-2. Let's now say that the count is 3 balls and 2 strikes on Rothenberg.
Scoreboard did a Lázaro Armenteros to me. Tricked me.
Never believe a scoreboard. Payoff pitch. High fly deep to right. Butler is at the track. It is gone. Mike Rothenberg's solo home run gives West Michigan a 6-1 lead.
Well, maybe that ball four wouldn't have been that bad. That was hammered.
And Brian Packard is coming up next. Packard is 0-2. A ground out to the pitcher and a fly out to center. Center fielder Armenteros shades to right center. Whitecaps back up by 5, 1 out, nobody on, bottom of the 5th. Joe Demers throws. That's fouled off the hands into the netting. There's a story I remember reading about Jackie Robinson, Adam, where this was in the 1950s, and a fan made a crack, and you can imagine for yourself what the fan said. And Jackie had heard so much of this over the years, and this was a last straw situation. On the inside corner, strike 2 called. And so they called time. Jackie broke down, and both players, the teams were ready to go into the stands, and the umpire stopped the game until Jackie said, I'm ready to continue. 0-2. Line drive pushed foul down the left field line. There's a lot to celebrate with Jackie Robinson. There was also an article that I read earlier today by Shakia Taylor who said, today is a good day to remember all the other firsts because Jackie was a first for the major leagues, but also specifically a first for the Dodgers. And Larry Doby was a first for the Indians. And all of those players who had to trailblaze to be their own team's first. 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss on the off speed. Packard strikes out for out number 2.
No question about it. Jackie Robinson was the first that they were able to see do it. And then there were still all the other teams in the league that still had to reach out and get their first black players to participate in baseball. I mean, it's a long process, and certainly baseball's come a long way.
Ben Malgeri is the batter, and he takes ball one down and away. It was the Dodgers who signed Jackie Robinson. They were not the first team to give him a tryout. Do you know who that was? The Boston Red Sox, April 16th, 1945. 1-0. Low, 2 balls and 0 strikes. They gave a tryout to Jackie, to Sam Jethro, who was the batting champion of the Negro American League, and Marvin Williams was an all-star second baseman for Philadelphia. Boston tried out those three players without any intention of signing them. A 2-0 was scorched up the middle, a base hit to center field for Malgeri, his second hit of the year. Armenteros gets it in. A 2-out single turns the lineup over for West Michigan's leadoff man, Parker Meadows. Whitecap 6, Lugnuts 1. Adam, you've been very kind in wishing me a happy birthday today. You can understand why I feel very personal that my birthday, April 15th, is so closely tied with Jackie Robinson when it comes to baseball.
That's a pretty cool day to Jackie Robinson celebrated worldwide today.
There's a swing and a dribbler foul back to the right. There are worse reasons about April 15th. April 15th was the day that Abraham Lincoln died. April 15th was when the Titanic sank.
Wow.
Tax day, thank goodness, got rescheduled. You can imagine me in elementary school. I think I was in second grade the first time a teacher looked at me and said, oh, a tax baby, huh? Here's an 0-1. Meadows taps it foul, straight backward. It was an off-balance cut off a good breaking ball from Demers.
Good thing you're not one of those people that's like, my birthday's got to be all about me and nobody can share it. Well, tough luck, Jesse. You got some competition.
Do you know who shares my birthday is the Blue Jays catcher, Danny Jansen.
Heck yeah.
A pickoff though to first base. Cross checks on him, but Malgeri got back in diving. Speaking of which, the Oakland Athletics are in Toronto to take on Danny Jansen.
Speaking of which, have you ever been more conflicted in a two teams have battled?
It's wild, right? I know these guys. Both squads in the green and the yellow, and the blue and the white. 0-2. Up high. Should say green and the gold. That great bright green and gold for the Oakland A's.
But as we know, all white pants for a select amount of years. Thank you, trivia question yesterday.
Yeah, beautiful. The former Lansing Lugnut and Blue Jay, Kevin Smith, has a double, but the A's are trailing 2-0 in the fourth. 1-2 from Demers. Runner moves, pitches outside, throw down, tagged by Winkler. They got him. Ben Malgeri tried to swipe second, head first. Tyler Soderstrom's first caught stealing of the year, feeding it beautifully to shortstop Winkler. And that sends us to the sixth inning from LMCU Ballpark. A home run by Mike Rothenberg, though, has rebuilt the five-run lead for the Whitecaps. It is West Michigan 6, Lansing 1, on our way to the sixth inning.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
We move into the sixth inning. Tyler Soderstrom is the batter. On the first pitch, outside for ball one. Soderstrom and the Lansing Lugnuts are down 6-1 to the West Michigan Whitecaps. It's going to be 4, 5, and 6 here. Soderstrom, Armenteros, and Winkler. The deal. Inside corner at a called strike. On the mound for the West Michigan Whitecaps, it's Dario Gardea, who takes over for the starter, Carlos Guzman, who is very low. Tried the breaking ball, and Soderstrom spat on it. Tyler's 0-1 with a walk and a strikeout. Count is in his favor against the right-hander, Gardea. Gardea of Chihuahua, Mexico. Lets it fly. Line drive, base hit right center. Malgeri, the center fielder, to his left to scoop it up and play it in. Soderstrom is on with a leadoff single. Got himself into a good hitter's count and knew exactly what to do with it. And this has been a nice little sequence for the 20-year-old Soderstrom, throwing out Ben Malgeri trying to steal second base last inning. And now lining the single to Malgeri in center. He's on at first, nobody out for Lázaro Armenteros, Lansing down 6-1. Lázaro taking all the way. Strike one called. Outside corner. Armenteros has drawn a walk, and he's grounded out to third base. With this Lugnuts order, they're never quite down and out. Here's the pitch. That's outside. One ball and one strike. Gardea cannot get these Lugnuts to chase his breaking ball. The only time that we can say that the Lugnuts have been down and out in the game this year, anytime Grant Holman has started. They haven't scored many runs yet. Two games, no runs. The pitch. That's right down the middle. And strike two called. Off the Gardea hook. 1-2 on Armenteros. Carlos Guzman, 5 innings. 2 hits. Actually make that 3 hits and 1 run allowed. He struck out 4. Gardea delivers the 1-2. Slider outside. Another tough take by Armenteros. We're shown up this year with a very discerning batting eye. He is not helping pitchers out. Armenteros out of the season yesterday, and he took it oppo. He also doubled oppo. Target set up in. Gardea is 2-2. Armenteros goes right through a high fastball, and down he goes on strikes. Gardea's first K. Soderstrom on at first, rolling the leadoff single. One down for Jack Winkler. A little fallout boy bringing Jack Winkler up to home plate. Right-hander against right-hander. And the pitch. That's above the zone. Ball one.
Sugar, we're going down swinging.
Be your number one with a bullet. Do you know how I use that song? Do you know what that song means to me at all, Adam?
I don't.
That was my alarm.
Wow.
Here comes a ball one offering to Winkler. Outside. It is a great song to wake you up from being asleep. It does a great slow build. It comes in with tons of energy. It worked every single time. I could not sleep through it.
You know what mine was?
Oh, let's see. Did you... Was it Black Sabbath?
Wake me up when September ends.
Ground ball right side. That gets through for Winkler for a base hit. Soderstrom holds up at second base as Meadows came in charging from right. Lobs it in. Singles by Soderstrom and Winkler, sandwiching the Armenteros strikeout. The Lugnuts have something going for Saheed Valenzuela.
I lied. I didn't really have one, but the radio.
I was buying you. I was totally buying that. I worked for a guy, Jim Toko, who always, always wake me up when September ends. He would call that his baseball song.
Really? Well, that makes sense.
Switch hitting Valenzuela, bats from the left side. The Cal State Fullerton. What, Adam?
Ooh.
Titan. The pitch. Up high. Ball one.
Those West teams out there, they're getting me lately.
Big West. The Gauchos. The Banana Slugs.
The dirt bags.
Yes. 2-1, one out. Lansing's down 6-1. The pitch. That's driven foul. Deep down the left side, but foul all the same. Fan reached out a glove, couldn't make the catch the first time. Got it on the rebound. Nicely done.
The Long Beaches.
At the beach.
Beach.
Long Beach State, the dirt bags. Love them. There's a lot of good baseball played out there. Valenzuela, originally from Somerton, Arizona. It takes below the knees. 2 balls and 1 strike. I was mentioning the A's and the Blue Jays. You know, the Oakland Athletics have another Lansing Lugnut on their roster, and he can thank another former Lansing Lugnut for being added to the roster. Kirby Snead did not make the trip with the A's to Canada. They needed to replace him. 2-1 pitch. Valenzuela lifts this one foul off to the left. There were a couple of players for the A's who did not make the trip. Keep in mind, you've got to be fully vaccinated in order to go to Canada. Those might be related. Those might be unrelated. So the A's reach down to the farm. and they called up, among others, the 2018 Lansing Lugnut southpaw Zach Logue, who's going to be out of their pen. The pitch. Ground ball on the right side. Keith has it, feeds second one. Cruz fakes the throw to first, pivots about, looks toward third, but Soderstrom is stopped and is aware. It's simply a force out on Winkler. Valenzuela is on at first on a fielder's choice. Two outs in the sixth. Up steps Matt Cross, 1-for-2 today with a single and the Lugnuts' only run scored. How about Zach Logue going to the major leagues? We've already seen Zach Jackson make his major league debut this year for the A's. Logue would be next. The pitch to Cross. Check swing.
And they'll call his first game. Logue won.
Oh, yes. Well done. Oh, marvelous. Gardea sets. He throws. Strike two called. Breaking ball. A lot of breaking balls from the native of Chihuahua. We've been talking about Jackie Robinson and all of his great athletic skill. I remember speaking with Zach Logue, a basketball star, a hockey star, and a pretty darn good pitcher. 0-2. Ground ball. Foul up the third base way. Cross stays alive. When Zach Logue makes his major league debut, Adam, he will be Lugnut number 163 to make the bigs.
Pretty darn cool.
And 0-2, on its way. High fly ball, shallow left center. Shortstop Cruz is called off. In from left, it's Bryant Packard who puts it away. And the Lugnuts strand two. Two singles, no runs. Through 5.5, the Lugs are down 6-1 in West Michigan.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum. www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here at the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, hardware, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
We're going to the bottom of the sixth inning. It is Lansing trailing in West Michigan by a 6-1 score. Jessica Briggs-Drassler here with Adam Jaxa. There is sad news to pass along, and that is a former general manager of the Lansing Lugnuts, Patrick Day. I received the news that he had passed away, and I'm sorry to share that same news with you. We send our very best to Pat's family. Patrick Day was the man who hired me as the radio broadcaster and to head up the media relations with the Lansing Lugnuts back in December of 2008. I'd previously worked for him in Montgomery, Alabama, and we miss him. We miss him an awful lot. Joe Demers returns to the mound for a second full inning of work out of the pen. He delivers. Parker Meadows lays off a breaking ball down. Ball one. It is stunning. It is saddening. Meadows, Cruz, Keith, 1-2-3 in the West Michigan order. 1-0 pitch. Fooled him. Went around too far. Strike one.
Something for you, Jesse, obviously attached. These jobs are difficult to get for someone like him to give you an opportunity. not one, but two different spots. That's someone you're always going to remember.
If I didn't have the opportunity at either one, I likely would not be broadcasting. Because just as you say, it is so difficult to come by. Meadows check swings, pitches down. St. Patrick Day. Oh, the stories we could tell. A 2-1 pitch. Fouled back over the netting to our left. Pat Day, back in 2009 and 2010. This was before, Adam, I worked with a broadcast colleague, with somebody else beside me in my booth. And Adam and I have broadcasted Lugnuts games together since 2019. That I'm thankful for. But in 2009 and 2010, I worked alone. However, I always did have a second headset sitting beside me. And Pat Day suddenly would drop in. A 2-2 pitch is skied down the left side. Brian Buelvas approaches the line in fair ground for a one-hand snag. And Meadows is at number one. I never knew when Pat would grab that headset, pop down next to me. He would always keep his radio on for whatever awful reason, so you would hear everything over the radio, over his walkie-talkie, I mean. It would all go over the broadcast airwaves. He would spill his diet soda all over the place, including the computers. The pitch to Trey Cruz, called a strike on the outside corner. And he was hilarious. It was live radio, and Adam, you know me joining Mad Dog or Tim Stout, where I never know what they're going to say. Well, now multiply that by 1,000. And I won. Check swing. Demers misses in. 1-1, one strike. One out. Nobody on. Bottom half of the sixth inning. Lansing in the field down 6-1.
Kept you guessing.
Oh. He would turn to me, and he'd say, "Who's this guy?" And I'd say, "That's our starting second baseman. He's been with us since opening day." A 1-1 outside. And he would say, "Is he any good?" And this was all over the radio.
This was on the air.
It was so much fun to work with Pat, to broadcast with, give me assignments, to have him surprise me in the office. A 2-1. Lofted into shallow left center. On comes Buelvas, but he's not going to get there. Has to field it on a hop. A base hit oppo for Cruz. Brian lobs into second. Cruz is on with a one-out single.
Let me ask you, what made you keep the second headset with nobody there, just in case the first one failed? Or?
We always had guests. There were constant sponsored guests. This is something that hasn't happened very much recently, but back in those days, the sponsors and our sponsorship department was constantly bringing people in to sit next to me, and we would talk things up. Colt Keith is the batter. Hits left. Right-hander throws. Outside corner, strike one called. It was also this. Adam, now you know you use your own broadcast headset. Is headset that you own. I do the same. I own this headset. I inherited the equipment that had been left by Brad Tillery, my predecessor. It was two broadcast headsets for all the sponsor guests. And 0-1 pitch is grounded down toward third, picked up by Harris. Throws to second one. Valenzuela over to first. That is an around-the-horn double play. Joe Demers faces the minimum in a scoreless sixth inning. So, yes, we lost the great St. Patrick Day. Received the news today. Terribly sad. Hug your loved ones and wish, do whatever you can for Pat's family. Do whatever you can. And we'll see as we learn more, but we're going to miss him an awful lot. We're going to the seventh inning, and Adam Jaxa has the call of the game. Lansing trailing against West Michigan 6-1.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. Doesn't seem right. Contact OK to Say.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
I just don't know what to do anymore.
I wish everyone would just go away.
No, it's nothing. Don't worry about me.
Mind your own business.
I hate my life.
She'll see when I'm gone.
Suicide could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a plea for help. You can help someone before it's too late.
And then she said she wanted to kill herself.
Do something. Contact OK to Say.
Top of the seventh inning here in West Michigan. Adam Jackson, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with you where the Lugnuts trail 6-1. Sky turning dark blue from the night. And the first pitch from Gardea is outside. Ball one. Dario Gardea. He works against 9-1 and 2. Brian Belvas is first. Pops the first one up towards the press box and right in front of the home broadcast booth to our right. Well, Vaso 0 for 2 in this game. And the third pitch shoots in there for a call. Strike three. 1-2-3, and that's it from Welvas. One down.
No, Dario Gardea is going right at these Lugnuts batters. Although he is pitching backward, he's going breaking ball and then fastball. His breaking ball is his best pitch.
Here's Angeles, and the first pitch is up and inside. Ball one, second inning of work. Taking over for Carlos Guzman, who went five innings, gave up 3 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. The pitch home. Swinging its cork back off the netting. One ball, one strike. Here in West Michigan, it's 6-1, so let's take a peek at what's going on in the rest of the Midwest League tonight. Let's start up in the 10th inning in Midland. 1-1. That swirls in there for strike two. This is one of two games, and they're still trying to get it done. They are in the 10th, tied at 1 between Peoria and Great Lakes, each team looking for their third win. The pitch, swing and a chopper down the third base side that just goes left of the pillow. One ball and two strikes, so.
Adam, there's nothing like a doubleheader where game one goes extras.
Yes, and I mean, they're not gonna start that second game till after 9 o'clock.
Those poor loons.
All the way out in Peoria too. That's a traveling week for them. Long night coming up tonight, but that one tied at 1. 1-2. Swinging, it's reached down out to left, and it's hit hard. Packard going back and makes a jumping running catch for the second out. Just a poke shot from Angeles, and he smacked it out there, and Packard had to sprint back for it. Shows you the strength that Angeles has. Lake County is tied with Dayton in the 7th, 3-3. Each team with 5 hits. Lake County getting all 3 runs in the first inning. Dayton has scored the last 3 with 2 in the second and 1 in the 5th. Now up to the plate, Lawrence Butler from the left side. The pitch, swing, and it's fouled back. No balls and a strike. In the bottom of the 8th, 4-2. 7 hits tonight for the Cubs as they look for a third win. But Wayne sitting at 3-3. A 3-run 6, the difference. The pitch, that's outside. 1 ball, 1 strike. Quad Cities and Cedar Rapids battling, and it's the Colonels shutting out the River Bandits 2-0. Cedar Rapids trying to move to 6-1. The pinch. That's a little bit low, 2-1. You know who take a 6-1 record? The Beloit Sky
Carp.
Sky Carp. They are still looking for win number 1, but they're playing 5-1 Wisconsin. The pinch, swinging, that one's up the middle. It's off of Gardea, knocks it down, throws to first, wide though of Holton, and it'll kick to the right in foul territory. Lawrence Butler around first, round second, and he'll get quickly back to the bag as the throw comes over there. And Cruz applies the tag, but it's late. So Lawrence Butler is aboard, and we'll see what they rule that. Wisconsin leading Beloit 1-0 as the Skycarp 0-6 as they play at new ABC Supply Stadium. So there's a check on the Midwest League. Speaking of check, training staff is going out there to just peek at Dario Gardea, make sure he's all right. They're going to go base hit and then a throwing error as well on Gardea. So seriously adding insult to injury. He's going to throw a couple of warm-up tosses, make sure he's all right. So for the Lugnuts now, they've got 6 hits. That beats the lone hit they had last night. But still, only 1 run. Got to give credit. The Whitecaps, on top of taking the lead and scoring runs, their pitching staff has done a pretty good job. These last couple of nights of holding this Lugnut offense down.
That after the Lutz in the first two games.
Yeah, they were rolling. I mean, they were rolling against Lake County into this West Michigan series, but nothing these last two games. Brett Harris into the box. He's one of those guys that came in hitting it well. Tonight, a strikeout, a walk, and a flyout. Runner at second, 2 outs. We're in the top of the 7th. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Off-speed stuff, and he was out in front. Strike 1. 6-1, Whitecaps, courtesy of 10 hits. Lansing, after having 3 errors in that second game last night, has done a much better job tonight. They've been clean defensively. Gardea's pitch. Chet's in there. No balls, 2 strikes. Chilly week here in West Michigan. Maybe that's what it is. The weather has cooled down. So have the bats.
Although I asked Phil Pohl about that, and he said, we can't use that as an excuse.
The 0-2. It's up high. 1 ball, 2 strikes. And to be fair, the first game yesterday was still pretty chilly, warmer than the second game. Certainly the weather not the main reason, but one thing you think about. They won game 1, 8-5. The pitch. Lifted down the right field side. 1 ball, 2 strikes. You missed.
I was hoping you didn't notice, but I've got the rebound.
And you've got the headset cord stretch. Well done.
That's why it's better to work with a headset than a stick mic. However, a stick mic is the old school broadcaster way.
Dunk that tissue away.
Look, when it's cold, a nose runs.
No question about it.
Just like to see the Lugnuts get a couple more runs.
I would take that. Fred Harris steps out. That big ankle guard in front. Runs over the top of his left toe. Wide base from the right side. Gardea set from the stretch. Throws. Sizing it up. Meadows now comes in and casually catches it to the left for the third and final out. So Lawrence Butler's hit and then error getting him to second. He is stranded. We will stretch it out and head to the bottom of the 7th. It's all Whitecaps up 6-1 at LMCU Ballpark.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks? Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Work to do for the Lansing Lugnut. The pitching first here to try and keep this five-run game. Down 6-1 in the bottom of the seventh. Hope you've stretched it out. As we will get an opportunity to see the newest Lansing Lugnut. Jesse teased it in the pregame, said maybe there's a chance we see the lefty. And Jesse, you are correct. Number 39 has entered the game.
This is James Gonzalez hailing from David, Panama. He's a big guy, about 6'2", just shy of 260 pounds, joining the Lansing Lugnuts from extended spring training.
He's not quite 40, just 39. But here we go with pitch one. And that's a little bit wide, ball one.
And he's only 21 years of age. So here he is to join the Lansing Lugnuts.
Here's the second pitch. I was just going off the number on the back of the uniform.
That's right.
Right?
You know, a uniform number is just a number.
That's right.
It's not a state of mind.
It's not like he'll have a birthday and turn 40 next year. He can get whatever he wants. Pitch is down low. And it's three balls, no strikes to Jake Holton. But again, check out who is the latest Lugnut to come to the team wearing number 39. The pitch, that's in there for a called strike. We were having some fun with that yesterday. Angeles came right before the first game of the year. He gets 35, his smaller guy. Some good size to Gonzalez. That pitch is up, and it's ball four. So five-pitch walk to Jake Holton to open up his frame in the seventh. Stevie Emmanuel started the game. Joe Demers. And now on to James Gonzalez.
Adam, when did you want to answer our trivia question of the game?
Well, we could do it this inning if you'd like. Or we can save it for the eighth. It's up to you, my man. First pitch, a little bit off the plate. Ball one to Austin Murr. It is, in fact, I know you share with others. Gonzalez is 1-0. In there, called strike. So what do you say? He's giving it some thought. Let's let this linger. Let's make them wait.
Let
Hold
it
on.
Percolate.
Let's get one more pitch in before Jesse decides when will we answer tonight's trivia question. The 1-1. It's a little bit up. Two balls and a strike. All right, Jesse, I turn to you.
Yeah, why not? Why not answer it right here in the bottom of the seventh inning after this Austin Murr at bat?
I like it. Runner at first with nobody out. 6-1, Whitecaps in the seventh. The lefty kicks and throws. Swinging it shot foul up towards the sweets. It'll bounce down towards the lower bowl. Two balls, two strikes. You've got the two state colors, basically. The blue and the green repping the seat colors for both West Michigan and Lansing. Green and Lansing, blue here. This pitch is ripped out to right. Butler underneath of it. Comes up a couple of steps and makes a chest-high catch. And there's one away as Holton remains at first base. And let's go to Jesse for that trivia question answer.
In 1940, Jackie Robinson was the national champion in which track and field event was the question? Leanne Cook and Bobby Strauss both wrote in correctly. The long jump. Jackie Robinson, the long jump champion. Bobby Strauss is always filling in the details with 24 feet, 10 and a quarter inches.
Andrew Navigato takes the pitch down low, ball one. Bobby Strauss is a machine, man. He's getting those right every single night.
Thank you for playing.
Absolutely. Leanne, thank you so much. The pitch. A little bit low. Two balls, no strikes to Navigato. He had the triple and RBI in the third. Struck out looking in the first and flied out in foul territory to first base. And Matt Cross in the fifth. The pitch home. And that's a little bit inside. Three balls, no strikes. 10 runs, have two errors. In the meantime, Lansing with one run, six hits, no errors. Middle of April 2022. The pitch inside, and that is ball four. So number four, Navigato heads to first. Two walks sandwiched in between the line drive catch. And up comes Mike Rothenberg, who blasted a ball to right field. That was off the facing of the Pioneer State Mutual Insurance deck. He blasted that. That sits a good 15 to 20 feet beyond the wall here. 327 down the line to right field. The pitch lifted out to shallow right center field. Backing up is Valenzuela and makes the catch into the grass. That's a good look in right there from the shortstop, or the second baseman rather. And there's two away. There's some tricky ones tonight that a lot of those have found a way to drop in, but not that one. Valenzuela, good footwork.
He's played a capable game today at second base.
He absolutely has. And that's a big second out. Maybe calms down James Gonzalez here to get the third out. We'll see. Packard swings through the fastball, strike one. 6-1 our score. We're in the bottom of the seventh.
I do think that that's the case, by the way, when your defense picks you up, because that's a dangerous pop-up. Little flare.
Makes you feel a little bit better. Pitch, check swing, and it's a called strike two. And look at him pumping in the fastballs now.
Just attacking.
Gonzalez looking for maybe his first Lansing Lugnuts strikeout. 6'2", 260-pounder out of Panama. Throws a little bit low. Good miss, though. 1-2.
I think if you're James Gonzalez, there is that chance. It's a new level. You start to think, what are the hitters like up here? So you start to nibble. Your defense picks you up, and this has been a much more aggressive at-bat.
Here comes the 1-2. That one goes outside. Nice knockdown by Soderstrom. Two balls, two strikes. I think as a pitcher, Jesse, sometimes you can feel alone out there at times. In fact, the play starts with you every single time. But then you remember, hey, I've got my teammates out here. Some great defenders. Help pick me up. And Saheed Valenzuela just doing that moments ago. 2-2. Swing and a miss. And he picks him up enough to help the lefty, James Gonzalez, get his first strikeout as a Lansing Lugnut. Works between a couple of walks, line out, fly out, strike out, and we will head to the eighth. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler takes you the rest of the way. Whitecaps 6, Lugnuts 1.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
As the curtain rises on the eighth inning, Tyler Soderstrom will lead things off of the Lansing Lugnuts. Lasser Armenteros and then Jack Winkler to follow. Lansing is down 6-1 in West Michigan. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and I'm joined by Adam Jaxa. A fastball snaps in. A called strike on the outside corner to Soderstrom. The left-handed batter waits. Pitch on its way. He swings and skies it. On the left side, into foul ground, third baseman Navigado. Now back toward Fair, makes the catch, crossing the stripe. The wind was starting to play tricks with that one, but Navigado stayed with it, and there's one down. Soderstrom now 1-for-3 in the game with a single and a walk. Man on the mound is Endry Nunez for these West Michigan Whitecaps and his Whitecaps debut. Fires to Lázaro Armenteros. High fly hook to left. Packard to his right. Runs it down. Two outs. And that is some hard contact by Armenteros. Now bring up Jack Winkler. Andrew Nunez looking for a 1-2-3 debut Midwest League inning after we just saw James Gonzalez make his Lugnuts debut. The pitch to Winkler. Low for ball one. Winkler is 1-for-3 with a single. He has also struck out and lined out to West Michigan. Right-hander throws to right-hander. Up and inside. Two balls, no strikes. Fastball at 91. Nunez replaces Dario Gardea, who went two scoreless innings, and he allowed three base hits, struck out two. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss, right by him at 90. Two balls and a strike on Winkler. On deck, Sahid Valenzuela. The offering to Winkler. Strike called on the outside corner. 2-2. I would think that there's got to be a good reason behind Endry Nunez's first name. H-E-N-D-R-Y. Remember Ted Hendry? Two ball, two strike pitch. That's way outside. Count has run full. Let's see. Jim Hendry. Longtime executive in baseball. Payoff pitch. Nunez throws. Winkler takes. Ball four, down and away. Lansing draws its fourth walk of the game. A two-out base runner extends things for Valenzuela. Jim Hendry used to be general manager of the Cubs, I believe, when the Cubs were the Lansing Lugnuts parent club. Currently is a special assistant for Brian Cashman of the Yankees. Andrew Nunez throws to Valenzuela. Switch hitter bats left. Takes it inside, ball one. 6-1, West Michigan leads Lansing. And the story of the game, if you weren't here for it, it's a 5-run bottom of the third inning. Otherwise, these two teams have played each other nose to nose. That's telling the tale. The pitch up high. Two balls and no strikes. Each team scored a run in the fifth inning. Aside from that, all goose eggs. But that 5-run bottom out. Now first, Winkler, two outs, top of the eighth. Nunez throws. High fly, pushed down the left field line, crossing the line into foul ground. Packard, it was slide, but he can't get there. That was just to get himself to put on the brakes as that baseball got over the wall and up onto the grassy hill.
Timed it perfectly, too. Sometimes you slide a little bit late, jam yourself over there, but knew exactly where he was. He's done that a time or two.
Well, it's two balls and one strike on Valenzuela, who's 0-for-3. Nunez comes at high, deals. Swing and a miss at a fastball at 93. Count is even. By the way, Adam, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is already homered for the Blue Jays against the A's. Kevin Smith is a single and a double for the A's against the Blue Jays. Now the 2-2. Fouled back to the screen. Keep it right here. It's the A's trailing 2-1. They're past the fifth inning in Toronto.
If feel like Aaron Judge tonight, thinking, why can't he do that against somebody else?
Every other night,
it's great.
The Blue Jays, the former parent club. The A's, the current one. The pitch to Valenzuela. Up high.
Family problems tonight.
Well, all those old friends who we saw come through Lansing. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. taps on the list with Beau Bichette. And all those newer guys. Kevin Smith, the 2018 Lansing Lugnuts superstar, and more. Now Zach Loeb joining Zach Jackson and Danny Jimenez. 3-2 with two outs. Winkler moves from first. The pitch fouled off to the left, off the roof, and down into the seats. So off we move into the late evening here. It's past the 9 o'clock hour. It is dark and cold. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock p.m., Jeff Criswell for the Lugnuts. Sunday, 2 o'clock, Osvaldo Barrios for the Lugnuts. Tried again from Nunez. Down and in, and he has walked. Valent walks given out by Nunez. Matt Cross is coming up.
What's crazy, Jesse, is this game feels over because of that giant five-run third, but if the Lugnuts got a hit or two and scored a couple of runs, they're right back into it.
They're continuing to have good plate appearances. Out to the mound goes Brian Pena, the manager for West Michigan. That's the thing. They have not packed this in. One run on six hits and no errors for the Lugnuts. Six runs on 10 hits and two errors for West Michigan. The no errors feels a lot like 2022 Lugnuts baseball. Last night's game two excluded. FOWA team meeting around Nunez. Winkler runs well at second. Valenzuela runs well at first. Matt Cross has a lot of power. Lansing is looking for a base hit to get them right back into the game. Nunez, 6'4" tall. He wears a beard. It runs down his jawline. Just stretches around the chin strap beard. As Matt Cross, a beard and a mustache, although light. For him, the Lansing Lugnuts first baseman batting eighth, righty against righty. Nunez throws. Ball one inside. Nunez began this year with Lakeland. He made one appearance, fired 1 2/3 hitless innings and struck out three, but he walked two and he tossed a wild pitch. Command has been the issue for him. A ball one offering. Fouled up and away to the right. A high fastball from Nunez at 93 that Cross turned away. Go back to last year, Adam. Andrew Nunez hit eight batters, tossed 13 wild pitches in just 35 2/3 innings. This is a one ball, one strike pitch. On its way. Line drive base into left field. Winkler is held at third base. Comes in from left fielder Packard. The bases are loaded on a single by Cross.
You like the solid contact, but you also wish he would have hit it a little bit softer so that Phil Pohl could send Jack Winkler, but it was hit so hard and right at Packard. I think he made the right decision there, and it helps, obviously, when you're down by five. You don't need to press the issue. You know you're going to have to score multiple runs, so see if they can do it here.
Here's Brian Buelvas. Buelvas has gotten off to a cold start this year. Base is loaded, two outs in the eighth, down 6-1. Swings to the first pitch and pops it up. Foul ground. Catcher Rothenberg to the netting. He makes a basket catch, but it hit the net first. It was a great catch off the ricochet, but because it touched the screen, it's just strike one, and Buelvas stays alive.
Everybody wins, though. He's still got the SportsCenter top 10 highlight music.
That's right. I'm sure he'll be totally thrilled about that. Boy, Brian Buelvas has opened up the year 1-for-17. Nunez to the plate. Line drive center field. That's a base hit. Winkler scores. Valenzuela's on his heels. A throw to the plate. The tag missed by Rothenberg as the ball squirts off to the left. Two runs are in on a Buelvas single. Cross stops at second. Lansing trails 6-3.
Well, what did we just say? It feels like the Lugnuts are out of this game, but it would take just one or two big swings, and here they are putting together four straight great plate appearances. Two walks, two singles. Now you score two and cut this lead in half.
And here is a Rebiel Angeles. Top of the order time for Lansing. Two on, two out, two runs in, down by three. Right-hander fires to right-hander. Taking all the way, right down the middle. Strike one called on a slide. Angeles is 1-for-4. Seven hits in his last 15 at-bats. The pitch from Nunez. A breaking ball snaps in a little high. That buckled Angeles' knees. Boy, Brian Buelvas collecting his second and his third RBIs on his second hit of the year. He's at first, Cross at second. The set, the pitch, swing and a miss. One ball and two strikes as that fastball cut in.
Lugnuts may not have been doing a good job of scoring early and first this year, but they have done a really good job of scoring with two outs.
Count is in the pitcher's favor. Andrew Nunez has the sign. Deals the 1-2. Swinging a fly ball to left. Bryant Packard backs up, drawing a bead. Backpedaling to make a one-handed catch. Angeles and the Lugnuts are done in the top of the eighth inning. But the Lugnuts score two-out runs. They load the bases with two walks and a single. And Brian Buelvas singles in a pair. Two runners are left on. We go to the bottom of the eighth inning. Now the Lugnuts are within 6-3 at West Michigan.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run, corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Lansing sticks with James Gonzalez for the bottom half of the eighth inning. It is 6-3 now. The Whitecaps lead the Lugnuts. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. Southpaw Gonzalez gets set to deal to Ben Malgeri. And that first pitch is up for ball one. It'll be Malgeri followed by the top of the order, Parker Meadows and Trey Cruz. The next offering misses in. Two balls and no strikes. Gonzalez in his first appearance with the Lugnuts, his second inning. He walked two of the first three batters that he faced, but he worked out of it. Now the Lugnuts are looking for him to put up another goose egg, but he misses high and wide, and the count goes to three balls and no strikes. Adam, here was an idea that I had earlier today, and that was we open a pack of baseball cards during the broadcast. And if we enjoy this, we open up a pack of baseball cards throughout the season. Because it's such a joy to open up a pack of cards. The pitch, Malgeri takes ball four upstairs. All right, you want to do the honors or should I?
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. We've got a pack of 2021 Topps Heritage Baseball. And we'll see what we get here. Leeds Lansing. Whitecaps are batting in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Malgeria with speed at first base for Parker Meadows. Lefty throws to lefty. Up and inside, ball five. All right, this pack begins with Buster Posey. That's a good start. Mark Mathias of the Brewers, that's a rookie card. Nick Senzel, the former Dayton Dragon, with the Cincinnati Reds. Here's the pitch. A ground ball scorched toward second. Valenzuela knocks it down. But then he has difficulties finding the handle, and everybody is safe. Malgeri to second. Meadows to first base. That baseball was hit with steam flying off of it. It was so hot. Valenzuela got there, but it staggered him.
Looked a lot of like those hits that came in that lengthy third inning. They were all crushed.
It's called an infield single for Meadows. Let's see. I got a former lugnut in this pack of cards. Matthew Boyd, the left-hander.
There you go.
Who signed in the offseason with the San Francisco Giants. Saw him go from Oregon State to Lansing. Here's the pitch. Trey Cruz foul tips it into the mid of the catcher Soderstrom. Strike one. Willie Adames, a former West Michigan Whitecap, who's now doing good things with the Milwaukee Brewers. Taylor Widener. Xander Bogaerts. Whenever your name starts with an X, you are cool. Here comes an 0-1. Two on, nobody out. Bottom of the eighth. Inside to Cruz. One ball and one strike. Brendan Rodgers of the Rockies. And lastly, James McCann of the Mets.
McCannon.
Yes! Man, James McCann has done some pretty good things ever since leaving Detroit.
How many times have we heard that in professional sports?
Too much. This pitch is down low. Soderstrom can't locate it, but the runners stay put. Tyler does get on it in a hurry. There's action in the Lugnuts pen. Daniel Martinez is warming up. So Buster Posey, and then this is the fun part for me to see all those former Midwest leaguers. Senzel with the Dragons. Boyd with the Lugnuts.
Most people look at those cards and go, hey, are they still on these teams that they're showing? Or are they on different major league teams? Jesse goes, let me tell you where they were in the Midwest League.
It's such a joy. And just to see if any stories are sparked by that. This pitch is inside. The count is three balls and one strike. I remember being with the Montgomery Biscuits and the draft approached. And the question was, should the Tampa Bay Rays, who were Montgomery's parent club, should they draft this hotshot college catcher named Buster Posey? Or the pitch is grounded down toward third, backhanded by Harris. Steps on his base one, throws a cross. One hop received, not in time by Cross. Meanwhile, Brett Harris slow to get up. He did get that force. Difficult play at the hot corner. But he forces out the lead runner, Malgeri. Meadows up to second, and Cruz on at first on the fielder's choice. There's one gone. Yeah, so the Rays, Adam, had the choice of, do you go Buster Posey or do you go the best high school player in the country? It was a kid named Tim Beckham. And they went Beckham over Posey, and the Giants picking second. They got Buster Posey.
Mistake.
2-1, one out. The pitch to Colt Keith. Swing and a foul tip held onto by the catcher, Soderstrom. Strike one. Matthew Boyd. So literally, the Lansing Lugnuts were on the team bus watching him pitch in the College World Series. And a month later, he was riding the bus with us. Wild. And 0-1. Bouncing in. Soderstrom, a good block. One ball, one strike on Keith.
That is a crazy time when you don't know who's going to be added to your team, and then the draft comes, and here comes all these college players that were just playing for a university. Now they're coming to play professionally.
One ball and one strike with runners at first and second, last of the eighth. 6-3 Whitecaps. The pitch. Nick Senzel. So Lane Thomas was a Lansing Lugnut for a couple of years in a row. Lane and Nick Senzel grew up playing high school baseball with each other. So I just remember seeing Lane down below, below home plate, speaking with a shirtless guy. This pitch is called a strike right down the middle. 2-2 now on Colt Keith. And I asked Lane afterward, you know that guy? And he said, that's Nick. That's my guy. Nick Senzel, first rounder, big prospect of the Cincinnati Reds, playing with the Dayton Dragons. And now look at them. Senzel is up with the Reds, and Lane Thomas is with the Washington Nationals. The pitch. A breaking ball bounced down to third. Another chance. Harris throws to second. They got one. Valenzuela to first. It is not in time. A second straight fielder's choice. Colt Keith is now on at first with Trey Cruz forced at second. 5-4. And Parker Meadows is matriculated over to third. You mind me just telling stories about guys from that pack of cards?
I love it. Everybody's got a story.
Some of these guys have stories that we don't even know about.
That's what the back of the card's for, right?
Yeah, James McCann. I could read to you what it says on the back of his card. Here's a swing and a miss by Colt Keith. Or I should say Jake Holton, strike one. James McCann in a 27-game stretch where the White Sox went 22-5 to seize a postseason berth. James was one of the club's top hitters. 963 OPS. Strike two called to Jake Holton.
It's always when they leave.
It's always when they leave. I'm sorry.
Castellanos, Verlander gets a title, Matt Stafford.
Ball got away from the Lugnuts pen, so we wait. Now it's returned to Daniel Martinez. Oh, Matt Stafford. Hey, congrats. Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. First year out of Detroit. Two first rounders, though, coming up for the Lions in 2 weeks. Holden skies to center. Back goes Armenteros. He's got this one. Hauls it in. And that is Gonzalez. So, a walk and a single, but two runners left stranded. And James Gonzalez turns in a couple of scoreless innings out of the bullpen. Lugnuts just scored two in the top of the eighth to get within three. But now they're down to their final three outs. 6-3 West Michigan. Let's go to the top of the ninth inning.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's OK. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
West Michigan goes back to the bullpen, three outs away from a 6-3 win. Gabe Sequeira is now in. 6-3 Whitecaps, but Sequeira will have to take on 2-3-4 Butler, Harrison, Soderstrom. First pitch to Lawrence Butler, taken for a called strike. Next pitch, and that's a little low from the lefty. Here's Adam Jackson with more on Sequeira.
Yes, sir, Mr. Sequeira. He's a lefty, 6'205". Undrafted free agent in 2020, coming up from Lakeland.
Lawrence Butler thunders it foul down the left side. One ball, two strikes.
And he comes up from the Lone Star State, Cypress, Texas native.
Lawrence Butler from Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta.
The peach.
1-2. Down and away. Breaking ball didn't tempt him. So far tonight, Lawrence Butler is 2-for-4. Even his outs, a line out to center and an RBI ground out. He's been good. The pitch. He swings and fouls this one back. That was it on his hands. That's tough, but he stays alive.
He's the type of guy you'd like to lead off the ninth inning, try and get around.
Don't ask for much, just a base runner. Tying run still a batter away from the on-deck circle. Butler swings, grounds it left of the mound. Here comes third baseman Navigato. Scoops, throws. He's out at first base by a step. One down.
That's not allowed. He didn't allow the count to get to 3-2. Very un-Lawrence Butler-like.
He said it. Andrew Nunez, by the way, one inning for West Michigan. Two hits and two walks and two runs. So now it's Sequeira against Brett Harris. Left-handed pitcher, right-handed batter with Soderstrom waiting in the wings. The first pitch called a strike on the outside corner. 6-3 West Michigan. Five in the third, one in the fifth for the Whitecaps, one in the fifth, two in the eighth for the Lugnuts. Here's the pitch. A breaking ball called a strike on the outside corner. Sequeira, a deep bend at the waist. Harris is 0-3 with a walk. The 0-2 pitch is high and outside. Sequeira's ready. Here it comes. That's fought foul to the screen. Sequeira says yes to Rothenberg's sign. Let's it fly. Outside. A tough take. Two balls and two strikes for Brett. West Michigan won the opener in a comeback situation. Two teams split a doubleheader yesterday. The pitch, swing and a miss. A fastball swung through. Brett Harris has gone on strikes. Inning. By the way, 1,902. The attendance here tonight.
Sticking out the cold, not a bad crowd.
No, sir. Tyler Soderstrom rolls it over right side, picked up by second baseman Keith. His throw to first ends the ball game. West Michigan wins it. Your final score, Whitecaps 6, Lugnuts 3. In the end, an anticlimactic ninth inning after the Lugnuts showed life in the eighth. Lansing's record falls to 2-5, while the Whitecaps improve to 5-2.
Yeah, it just felt like the Lugnuts, if they were going to come back and win this one, it was going to be in that eighth inning. Really, that was kind of the story tonight. You said it earlier, Jesse. Outside of the third inning, these teams were pretty even throughout this game, and there was only a couple big half innings. Lugnuts get the two in the eighth, and the Whitecaps obviously had the five in the third against Emanuels, but just didn't really ever feel like Lansing was in the game, even though it wasn't all that big of a difference. But tip your cap tonight to the Whitecaps. That means they pitched it pretty darn well. They did give up eight hits, but you hold the Lugnuts to three runs and get a nice win for them. And they've started to find some momentum heading into the weekend.
There were some bright spots. Let's start, Adam, with the Lugnuts offense. We just mentioned Lawrence Butler. Although he grounded out to open up the ninth inning, this was a better offensive game for Lawrence.
Yeah, it was. We've talked a lot about how he's been walking, Jesse, but tonight we see the production with a couple of base hits, as you mentioned. He had a hard hit line ball in the first inning, brings in the run in the fifth, and a decently hard hit ball in his last at bat there. So Lawrence Butler seems like starting to find his form just a little bit. He can do more than walk, obviously. He's known for his offense, and that's certainly going to come.
Also for the Lansing Lugnuts, a two-hit game from Matt Cross, the first baseman batting eighth. Brian Buovas also trying to snap out of a 1-for-17 slump, delivered a two-run single. Single and a walk for Jack Wittstrom. Soderstrom also caught a West Michigan Whitecap trying to steal. That's his first of the year.
Yeah, nice to see that he's got the tools defensively. We know all about the bat, but he threw out the runner at second base. And how about Angeles getting another base hit? Not his two-hit night that we've been seeing, but still nearly had two hits with the error in the first and then the base hit that probably could have been a double in that fifth inning.
Well, on the pitching side for the Lugnuts, Stevie Emmanuel's, we were talking yesterday, Adam, about the highs and lows for Grant Holman, who struck out 9 but also allowed 5 runs on 8 hits. For Emmanuel's, the highs were he struck out 5 in 3 2/3 innings, 2 in a scoreless first, 2 in a perfect second, and then his fifth strikeout came in the fourth inning, but it was the third inning that was a massive speed bump.
It really was, and it wasn't cheap, Jesse. We talked about it. I mean, all those balls were hard hit, and that includes the outs in that third inning. The first out was Austin Murr, and it was a line drive. Winkler had to step to his right to make it before it was jetting into the outfield. I mean, we saw 3 doubles in that inning, a triple, 5 total runs, 6 hits, and 10 batters came to the plate. That was the difference in this game, and it was a lot of inconsistency in that third inning. But outside of that third inning, if you can shore that up a little bit, and some of the other pockets where we saw where he was just susceptible to missing the zone, I mean, he has the tools, Jesse. It's just going to take some time, it looks like, for him to kind of develop and make sure he can more consistently hit the zone. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch how he progresses as the season goes on.
On the other side, continuing on with the pitchers, just in speaking about the relief, Joe Demers did give up a home run to Mike Rothenberg. Aside from that, I'd say that he pitched perfectly well. And then James Gonzalez, there was a little bit of a spate of wildness, and yet in his 2 innings did not allow a run in his very first Lugnuts appearance.
What did you say about the starters having struggles, and the bullpen has been pretty? 5 runs from Emmanuel's all in one half inning, and then outside of that, Demers, Gonzalez, they hold their own and kept this a ball game late.
Well, the Lugnuts fall. The final score once again 6-3. And now we turn our attention to tomorrow. 2 p.m. is the time of first pitch. Jack O'Loughlin will take the mound for the West Michigan Whitecaps. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. Yep, O'Loughlin will take on the Lugnuts right-hander Jeff Criswell. Criswell makes his second start of the season for Lansing. Adam, do you have any expectations for Jeff?
Well, I would like to see him come out and get the Lugnuts off to a good start. They need to score first tomorrow, and they need to try and slow down this Whitecaps offense that has been stoppable, but they've been the team that has been aggressive early. So I'd like to see Criswell come out, shut down 1 or 2 innings, and see if the offense can get something going. But Criswell certainly has the talent, and they're going to need him tomorrow to try and get back into this series.
Sounds good. Well, that does it for us tonight. There's been a lot that we've discussed over the course of today. It's April the 15th. Good Friday. Happy Passover. Adam, any final thoughts?
Happy birthday to you, and great to call a game with you again. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. For Adam Jaxa, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Once again, Lansing falls at West Michigan 6-3. We wish you well from LMCU Ballpark on the western side of the Midden.